Police say the 5-year-old got the unloaded pistol out of a cupboard at his home. You're listening to Air America Radio News on the Air America Radio Network. I'm Wayne Gilman.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74. This is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residence. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and receive a smoke detector with free 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
Reading is not a natural act. You have to train your brain to do it. But I don't have to tell you that. You worry about your children's success in school. Now when they bring home a report card, ask yourself, are they improving? If the answer is no, you need to call and order the Phonics Game. The Phonics Game is a fun, easy, and proven way to help your children get better reading and spelling grades. Studies show that 74% of children who are poor readers in the third grade end up poor readers in the ninth grade, which means your children's reading skills won't get better unless you do something to help. Do what parents across the country have done. Get the Phonics Game. The Phonics Game comes with a money-back guarantee. If your children don't improve their grades in reading or spelling, you can return the Phonics Game for a full refund.
Call now. 1-800-813-READ. 1-800-813-READ. That's 1-800-813-READ.
Call today and order the Phonics Game.
1-800-813-READ.
This is Vivilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartmann.
And greetings, my friends. Tom Hartmann here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations from California to Pennsylvania, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, streaming around the planet at White Rose Society, .org, WhiteRoseSociety.org, RadioPower.org, AirAmericaRadio.com, and on cable TV systems in 29 states on CRN Digital. Welcome to our program. Congressman John Tierney is with us. JohnTierney.com, his website, also House.gov/Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Congressman Tierney, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Tom. Nice to talk to you.
Pleased to have you on. Today's Wall Street Journal on page 6 in the A section, an article, Halliburton's Iraq Work Criticized. It looks like this thing is starting to come unraveled. You and Congressman Jim Leach, Republican of Iowa, introduced bipartisan legislation to bring back what Harry Truman did, basically, during the Roosevelt administration,
right.
House Resolution 116 and House Resolution 449. Tell us, first of all, just for our listeners, a little bit of history. What did Harry Truman do?
Well, Harry Truman in 1941 decided that there was some question about whether or not the troops in the war were actually getting the materials that they needed to protect them and to prosecute the war the way they should, and he was concerned that the taxpayers' money was being misspent. So he formed a commission, and a bipartisan commission, and they went out and they investigated all of these contracts. In the course of that, they had it was 1941 to 1948, they had over 400 public hearings, 300 executive sessions, 1,800 witnesses, and went on hundreds of fact-finding missions and issued about 51 reports. The long shot of it was they saved lives because they made sure that the contracts actually were fulfilled in the way they got things to the troops that they needed. And they saved, in those days, dollars, about $15 billion. So it's got an analogy here. We're hearing story after story, as you mentioned, of money not going where it should. And we already know our troops weren't getting the body armor, and the Humvees weren't up armored, and the roadside jammers weren't there when they needed them, and horror story after horror story. So we need an equivalent group to go out there, since none of the standing committees in Congress are doing their oversight responsibility.
Now, at that time, we had a Democratic president, Roosevelt.
Right.
We had a Democratic Congress.
Right.
And Harry Truman stood up and said, we're going to investigate what the executive branch is doing, we in Congress.
Right.
And Roosevelt not only said, okay, he made Harry Truman his vice presidential candidate next time he ran for office.
Exactly. There ought to be nothing partisan about this. I'm not a member of Congress. When you take them aside from their party affiliation or caucus, won't tell you that they're concerned about how we spend money, and they're obviously all concerned about making sure our troops are protected.
Yeah.
So you take that element out of it and stop looking at it through the lens, as I'm afraid too many of my colleagues on the other side are looking, as, oh, this may end up being critical of the White House. Well, only if you blame them for these contractors. You know, Roosevelt certainly was reluctant at first, and then he saw the wisdom of it, and he never got any criticism for personally because he didn't run these companies. He wasn't there. He wanted to make sure that contracts they gave out in good faith were carried out in good faith, and that's hopefully what my colleagues will come around to realizing.
So you, Congressman Turney, and Congressman Jim Leach, again, a Republican, and you're from Massachusetts, and in fact, I'm not sure exactly where your district is. We're on
north of Boston, along the coast, the North Shore, and a little bit of Merrimack Valley.
Yeah, we're on at least three stations in Massachusetts. I'm pretty sure we're probably in one of your districts. In any case, you brought forward these two pieces of legislation, House Resolution 116, that would have looked into how tax dollars were being spent in Iraq and Afghanistan, and House Resolution 449 that would have looked into how tax dollars were being spent on Hurricane Katrina. What happened?
Well, we've had a long hole with that. We've tried to bring it up procedurally every chance we had, and we've unfortunately again getting some party line splits here. What's that?
What does procedurally mean?
Well, we introduced the bill back in February of 2005. So the first time we did it to offer as an amendment to a supplemental spending bill that came out, and we got a vote. That was back in March of 2005. We lost with 191 votes in favor of it and 236 against it. Only Jim Leach, I think, was with us on that particular occasion. In May of that year, we tried again to bring it on the floor through another consideration of a supplemental spending bill. That time we got 196 votes, but there were 224 against us, so we're gaining a little bit of ground. And later that same month, in May of 2005, we tried to bring it up as part of the Department of Defense authorization bill, but the Rules Committee, of course, which is controlled by the majority here just wouldn't even make it in order. The same thing happened in June. We tried to bring it up on the legislative branch appropriation. They wouldn't make it in order. And now in June, later in that month, we brought it up procedurally under the legislative spending bill, and we lost with 196 votes again in favor, but 219 opposed. And now we've been offering it most recently in March of this year as an amendment to the, again, another emergency spending bill that dealt with both Iraq and Katrina. And the Rules Committee wouldn't allow it to go forward. I went down to the floor and raised it anyway, and they objected and won the objection because they said it was authorizing or creating something on a spending bill. Technically, they were right, but they've done that on other things, and this would, in my mind, would be important enough to make an exception and move forward on it.
Now, the thing that boggles my mind, and there's got to be an answer here, it seems that one of two things is going on. If you look back at the Truman Commission, here you had a Democratic senator investigating the purchasing being done by companies from and the awarding of contracts by a Democratic executive branch
right.
during World War II.
Right.
And is it that, and now you have the Republican Congress refusing to investigate either the companies and organizations that are acquiring these grants that are receiving the money or purchases, or the executive branch that's giving them, the Republican, the Bush administration.
Right.
Is it that the Republican Party is just that much more corrupt than the Democratic Party was in 1941, or is it that the relationship between what Dwight Eisenhower in 1960 referred to as the military-industrial complex and members of the House and Senate has become so interlocked that their political power will not allow this kind of an investigation? Or is it a bit of both?
Well, I think the latter point is probably has some validity, although it's a little hot at the track. You have to go to the campaign contribution list and see who's getting the weight of contributions. But, it's really broken down more on a Democrat-Republican thing because I think they're afraid it will be critical of the White House. I think they missed the point. It wasn't critical of Roosevelt when they did it. The idea is to make sure these contracts are done the right way and that things get to the troops or to the victims of Katrina.
I think
the
enhanced
problem
Roosevelt.
I think they have is that they're so closely associated with groups like Halliburton or Kellogg, Brown and Root, Bechtel and those groups, with their financial contributions to campaigns or with members of the administration who come out of those businesses and rotate into the Pentagon or into the administration. I think they're afraid people are going to start connecting dots whether or not it's warranted. And I'm not saying that it's warranted. I'm saying it certainly raises a question that ought to be resolved, and, it'll be resolved in the context of this. But if they have no bad situation on their side to worry about, they ought to welcome this check. If they do have something to worry about, well, they certainly make it look like they have something to worry about, and that would be unfortunate. This just be going right at the facts and let the facts take us where they go.
The incredible irony of all this is that Franklin Roosevelt actually got political brownie points, as it were. He was praised and respected by the American people for investigating his own purchasing.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, one of the things that was most respected about the Truman Commission was that it's bipartisan nature. They just went to get the facts. They didn't take on any political mantra or anything else, and that's the way this committee is set up to be. It replicates that. It's strictly about getting the facts and taking appropriate action with respect to it.
And one of Franklin Roosevelt's most famous quotes from that era is that he said, "I will not see a single war millionaire come about, arise as a consequence of this war."
Well, we know that's the opposite that's happening in Iraq as well as in the Katrina thing. I mean, it's just a disgrace with the no-bid, cost-plus types of contracts are going out there, and that's why we have to look at it. We're seeing too much profiteering going on, and I think people really resent that. I think they're going to grow to resent Congress and the White House if we don't do something about it. And this is part of our job. We legislate, which is important, but the second part of our job is oversight, which is equally as important.
Yeah, we just have about a minute left. Congressman John Tierney, I'm wondering, to what extent do you think that this might be also ideological, that today's Republicans, unlike the Republicans of the 40s, actually believe that the profit motive is the ultimate thing rather than democracy being the ultimate thing?
Well, I think there's a lot of that privatization aspect out there that they think that, the private industry should be allowed to do it. But if that were the case, they would have contracts where you bid, because it's their mantra also that you should have competition. So we wouldn't have no bid contracts, and we wouldn't have cost-plus contracts, and we'd have some foresight on making sure that these things were put in place before there was such an emergency they could jack the prices up. And they would still warrant oversight on that. So I think that that's a little bit of it. They want to privatize everything, but here we're not saying that we shouldn't have private companies. We're saying there should be competition, there should be oversight, and there shouldn't be profiteering.
Are we just looking at crony capitalism, then?
You're looking at a lot of that. You're looking at an extreme amount of that, and I think that's what concerns the public the most. If these associations are too close and there are people profiteering off of this thing at the expense of our troops, at the expense of the victims of the Katrina, then Congress has a responsibility to shut that type of thing down and make sure the issues in Iraq and in the Louisiana and Mississippi area are dealt with effectively and correctly.
So people should be calling their member of the House of Representatives at toll-free 888-355-3588 and asking them to support John Tierney and Congressman Jim Leach in investigating these purchases.
So make sure their money's spent wisely and their children and neighbors are taken care of.
Congressman Tierney, thank you so much for
being
with us. It's 16 minutes past the hour.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
You will be thrilled to learn that Walmart has been taking bold steps to spiff up its sordid image. Not such steps as paying decent wages and offering good benefits, mind you, nor steps to stop selling billions of dollars worth of sweatshop products every year, nor steps to stop using predatory tactics to crush local businesses when it moves into an area. Instead, Walmart's boldness is in the area of PR flimflammery. In December, a new group calling itself Working Families for Walmart suddenly sprang up. Was this a spontaneous grassroots uprising by employees and supporters of the retailing giant? No, it's a front group created and funded by the corporation itself for the sole purpose of praising itself. Also, in the past year, there's been a rash of bloggers ranting against Walmart's many critics and defending the corporate behemoth. Are their blogs simply the product of the freewheeling and fiercely independent internet spirit? Uh-uh. These bloggers are routinely spoon-fed talking points and language by a right-wing operative of the Edelman Company, one of Walmart's PR firms. Even though many of the bloggers end up using the exact same sentences and so-called facts provided by Walmart's online operative, they commonly fail to mention any connection between their rants and the corporation. It's hard to develop an ethical image if you're using unethical tactics. So one wonders what Walmart's newest hire will make of all of this. In March, the company said it was seeking applicants for a new position, Director of Global Ethics. The posting says that candidates must have an impeccable reputation for integrity and be able to lead a global ethics strategy. This is Jim Hightower saying, right there is Walmart's problem. One's ethics is not a strategy. It's an ingrained virtue. No amount of strategic image making can cover up this corporation's obvious lack of ethics.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
My kids don't read and my kids don't write. I'm stuck in a traffic jam every night. The crime rate's up, but that's all right, 'cause I got low taxes. Low taxes like they have in Mississippi. Low taxes, that's what I live for. Low taxes. You bet your sweet Bippy, I hear those low taxes singing my song.
And welcome back, my friends. Exposing the con and conservative. Tom Hartman here with you. Halliburton's work in Iraq criticized, as Yoki Driesen writes in today's Wall Street Journal. U.S. government was so uneasy about Halliburton Corp's performance on a major Iraq reconstruction contract that it threatened to end the award unless the company's conduct improved, internal government documents show. U.S. contracting officials regularly express concerns about the quality, integrity, and cost of Halliburton's work. Among the serious and persistent problems identified in the documents are repeated examples of apparently intentional overcharging, exorbitant costs, poor cost reporting, shipping schedules, and a refusal to cooperate with the government, the report noted. If you or I tried to do this, we'd be in jail so fast to make our heads spin. The Bush administration recently chose not to seek additional money for reconstructing Iraq, even though the $20 billion spent to date has failed to restore the country's infrastructure to pre-war levels. Law enforcement officials are intensifying their probes into fraud and corruption that is believed to have occurred. This report focuses on the Restore Iraq II contract awarded in January 2004 to Halliburton's Kellogg Brown and Root subsidiary, a company, I might add, that was reincorporated offshore so they would not have to pay U.S. taxes, income taxes, on all the profits that they're making with your and my tax dollars. In fact, again, according to this Wall Street Journal report, a contractor charged with evaluating Halliburton's work concluded that the firm's progress reports about an oil field project were, quote, misleading and, quote, distorted. Henry Waxman, a little fried by this thing. He says the report showed the administration failed to properly oversee the rebuilding of Iraq. To quote him, he said there were concerns raised about giving Halliburton more work, but the administration gave the company a blank check that essentially rewarded it for poor performance. Oddly enough, if you're in Dillingham, Alaska, such things might be viewed as a positive. I don't know. It's a little fishing village on Alaska's southwest edge. A place where some folks still make raincoats out of walrus intestine, notes the Los Angeles Times, Thomas Alex Tyson, the Times staff writer, and surveillance cameras. Each camera, a shiny white metallic box with two lens-like eyes. Camera shape and design resembles a robot's head. By mid-February, there were 60 cameras watching over the town. 60 surveillance cameras. This is for a town of 2,400 people. The mayor is not pleased. Mr. Roberts. Mayor Roberts says, a former barge captain. Oh, he is a barge captain. And he says, you better smile. You're on camera. Amazing, isn't it? Everywhere you look, there's one looking at you. He was the mayor from 72 to 78. Excuse me, the former mayor. He says the cameras constitute an invasion of privacy, and beyond that, they're just plain creepy. He's gathered 219 signatures against them. City Council, however, thinks they're just fine. So Roberts is trying to put this on the ballot. It turns out that this was the result. Yeah, the mayor says, you know, this is Dillingham, Alaska, folks. We don't have to worry about Osama bin Laden unless he wants to go salmon fishing. But the police chief apparently got a good Homeland Security grant. And so look at the last 3 years, 3 homicides, 6 unclassified deaths, 271 assaults. Sounds like a crime wave going on there. So anyhow, it's interesting what we're seeing here all across the United States. 5 federal judges gave a boost yesterday to legislation that would bring court scrutiny to the Bush administration's domestic spying program. This is from the Associated Press. This is fascinating. This is absolutely fascinating. Here we have these 5 judges. Pete Yost in the AP notes the careers of all 5 judges have been steeped in the work of the Secret Surveillance Court, the FISA Court. Arlen Specter told the AP last week, Senator Arlen Specter, he said that the administration officials want to do just as they please for as long as they can get away with it. I think what is going on now without congressional intervention or judicial intervention is just plain wrong. That's a Republican senator saying it's just plain wrong. We have arguments today before the United States Supreme Court about whether Bush has the right to be judge, jury, and executioner for people caught, captured on the battlefield, when all the way back to 1215, when King John signed the Magna Carta at Runnymede, there have been rules for conflict that were a little more, you know, that at least included habeas corpus. That is the right to be confronted with your accuser, to have a trial. You know, it's been refined, obviously, over the years, but Bush wants to set us back to 1214. So anyhow, one of these judges who stressed, they testified before the Senate. Senator Allen Specter, he brings them before the Senate. He's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And something is not going to make the Republicans happy. And one of these judges, U.S. Magistrate Judge Alan Kornblum, says that Bush, who is claiming inherent authority to do this kind of thing, you know, I'm George, therefore I can do it. He says, I am very wary of inherent authority. It sounds very much like King George. Boy, good on that judge. We'll see how this thing shakes out. 27 minutes past the hour in the Tom Hartman program.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyard, San Luis Obispo, California.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies, so I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
You're listening to Win. Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell. Fewer than 500 salaried employees were laid off by General Motors at 30 locations yesterday. Dubbed Black Tuesday by the media, the layoffs follow an announcement earlier this year of plans to slash the jobs of more than 36,000 hourly workers in North America by 2008. Last Wednesday, GM announced it had negotiated a buyout plan with the unions, representing those hourly workers for between $35,000 and $140,000. The salaried employees laid off yesterday are not eligible for the buyout plan, but do receive a severance pay of 1 month for every year they were employed by the automaker, up to 15 months. In January, GM laid off 500 engineers, and last year laid off 2,000 salaried employees.
Students are working with labor on campuses nationwide this week on joint corporate campaigns. Silky Shah, an organizer with Not With Our Money, says it pays for labor to forge alliances with university students.
The investment's really important from the labor community. A good example is the Taco Bell campaign and some of the stuff that's going on with living wage right now. I think students play a major role in just getting attention to these issues.
Shah says a campaign is underway against Farallon, a hedge fund that invests in private prison operator Corrections Corporation of America. Carl Lipscomb, coordinator of the Student Labor Action Project, says a campaign is also underway against Coca-Cola, for alleged human rights abuses. Lipscomb says he hopes these actions reach students who are unaware of unions and labor issues.
One of the main things we want to do is educate the students that aren't necessarily involved, students that don't know what unions are or what the functions of unions are, that don't know what the workers on their campuses are, what the janitors that are cleaning their rooms, what their plight is. We hope to educate them on workers' rights issues and also teach them what they can do to support workers.
Pfizer is being sued by labor unions for marketing Lipitor for unapproved uses. The suit says that by marketing Lipitor for uses outside of federal guidelines, the unions made billions of dollars in overpayments for members' prescriptions. While physicians may prescribe drugs as necessary, drug companies may only market drugs in accordance with federally approved uses.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. Major U.S. defense companies like Lockheed Martin are dealing with a consequence of the end of the Cold War, a serious shortfall in engineers. While there's no problem finding systems or software engineers, a deficit looms in more traditional areas such as mechanical and aeronautical engineering. Last year, the U.S. produced about 80,000 engineers, compared to 300,000 from India. In 1989, the U.S. aerospace and defense workforce was 1.2 million people. Today, it's just 580,000.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Today you're working for the man. Well, pick up your feet, we got a deadline to meet. I'm gonna see you make it on time. Now, don't relax, I want elbows and backs. I want to see everybody from behind.
And indeed, welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Speaking of the demand.
What a friend we have in W.
It's our Bush administration alert.
Right, strong and resolute.
Yeah, especially when they got a stun gun on you.
God wished him to be our leader.
Indeed. NBC News reporter Pete Williams let it slip yesterday on MSNBC, being interviewed by Dan Abrams. Williams, speaking of Zacharias Moussaoui, the so-called 20th hijacker who got up on the stand yesterday, or was it the day before yesterday, and inexplicably confessed to being part of this whole thing, to thinking gleefully, oh, why, we watched the towers go down, to saying Richard Reed, the shoe bomber who flew to the United States long after 9/11, if my recollection is correct, was going to be with him and doing this, another great victory for the administration in the war against terror, arresting Richard Reed. Zacharias Moussaoui got up and suddenly just started being Mr. Motormouth, incriminating himself. So anyhow, Pete Williams from NBC, the NBC News reporter, he says, the old outbursts were gone. He was very docile today. We believe that he's wearing one of those stun belts, and that maybe he was very worried about doing anything that would cause those marshals to push the button. Dan Abrams, a stun belt? They literally have something around his waist? They can push a button? Williams, change the subject. Yes, indeed. What a friend we have in W. You don't want to be in federal court these days. Today, by the way, the anniversary of our withdrawal from Vietnam, an auspicious anniversary, March 29th, 1973, 2 months after the signing of the Vietnam Peace Agreement, this from the History Channel, this day in history, two months after the signing of the Vietnam Peace Agreement, the last U.S. combat troops leave South Vietnam as Hanoi frees the remaining American prisoners of war held in North Vietnam. An auspicious date, or perhaps an inauspicious date, to connect it together, as it were, to connect the dots. The independent.org, the Independent Institute, has put forward the top 10, this is by Ivan Eland, the top 10 mistakes the Bush administration is making in repeating Vietnam. It's like, you know, what we didn't learn from history. Mistake number one, underestimating the enemy. Mistake number two, deceiving the American people about how badly the war is going. Remember Lyndon Johnson? The Tet Offensive was going on. The Tet Offensive was when the North Vietnamese were attacking us. And he would say, oh, everything's fine. This is 1968. Everything's fine. And yet journalists like Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite talking about a credibility gap. And at that point, the war was lost politically because the U.S. government lost the confidence of its own citizens. Number three, the Bush administration, like the Johnson and Nixon administrations, blames the media's negative coverage for plunging popular support of the war. Now, World War II was very popular. World War I ultimately was very popular, and they were well reported on. I wonder if Roosevelt and Wilson thought the media was... war is war. People get it. Is this a justified war? Is this a good war or a bad war, as it were? We've got a bad war here. Vietnam was a bad war. Number four, artificial government statistics cannot be used to measure progress in a counterinsurgency war. Lately, the Bush administration has touted that fewer U.S. personnel are dying in Iraq. True. Why? Because they've been pulled back from the fight to reduce U.S. casualties. But the number of Iraqis dying has been going up. Number five, the initial excess use of force in counterinsurgency warfare instead of a plan to win hearts and minds. In other words, you go in, kick butts, and what do? They're now angry with you. Blow Fallujah into rubble. You get 300,000 people in that town going, hey, wait a minute, we thought you were our friends. Not anymore. Number six, failed search and destroy tactics. Belatedly gave way to the inkblot approach of clearing and holding ground in both Vietnam and Iraq. Number seven, Iraqization of the war parallels the unsuccessful Vietnamization in the 1970s. Number eight, as in Vietnam, there has been no date certain for withdrawal of U.S. forces. I would add to that, there is no definition of what an accomplished mission is. Number nine, retention of incompetent policymakers. Robert McNamara was kept on by Lyndon Johnson, even though he screwed up the Vietnam War terribly. Same thing with Don Rumsfeld. And most important of all, number 10, starting a war on phony pretenses. LBJ said that we were attacked in the Gulf of Tonkin by Vietnamese patrol boats, and history tells us that he basically made that up. And apparently knowingly made it up. And similarly, Bush exaggerated the dangers from Iraq's weapons program. And again, I would say exaggerated is a gentle phrase. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-8466. If you'd like to drop into a live chat room, go to tomhartmann.com and click live chat. We also have a message board, a blog area over there. You can click that as well. They are two separate areas and to some extent different folks hanging out in different areas. So, you know, feel free to drop in. And speaking of our live chat room, I've got an amazing story to tell you here. I just have to find it. And if I can't, I'll just do it from memory. This is incredible. We have had for a year, maybe a year and a half, we have had a troll in our chat room. Troll, for those of you who know about cyberspace, trolls are, you know, people who come in and they make irritating comments and they're just generally obnoxious. And occasionally we'll have trolls that we actually kick out. You know, you can ban people based on their IP address or whatever. And this troll has been kicked out a couple of times.
And although, you know, we don't mind people of opposing opinions. In fact, we encourage them. I encourage people who disagree with me to call the program. If somebody, you know, disagrees, drop into the chat room and have an intelligent conversation. We like that. But trolls are people who are not interested in intelligent conversations. They just, you know, they'll take a talking point and repeat it over and over and over again, and or being obscene or something like that. You bounce them out. So anyhow, this morning, 4 a.m., I log onto the chat room, and Joni drops in, and one of our regulars, and she says, hey, Tom, the troll was in under a new name last night, and even he has had it with Bush and was bashing Bush over the illegal immigration thing. When the trolls abandon him, you know Bush is toast. And Joni says he outright said, I am off the Bush bandwagon, by the way, and he wants Bush out of office. He says, however, that did not keep him from his other neocon talking points. He kept saying, Harry Reid is neck deep in Abramoff, et cetera. But I thank you, Joni. And I got to say, you know, when the trolls turn on you, you got problems. You got serious, serious problems. 1-866-440-8466-440-THOM, our telephone number, Ruth in Elkhart, Indiana. Hey, Ruth, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I've been trying to get a hold of you for several days. Last week you had a gentleman that's running for Congress named Chris on the program, and he was talking about making major cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. I have a major problem with that. My husband's worked for 30 years. He's now terminally ill. We've spent all of our savings getting him medical attention, and now he's on Medicaid. We got a call yesterday from hospice saying that they may have to take him off hospice because Medicaid doesn't want to pay for it anymore because he's lived longer than 6 months.
Oh, my. Ruth, yeah. You have I don't know what the word is, consolation. I don't recall the specific guest you're talking about, although we do have conservatives on from time to time.
Chris
mostly.
Edwards, Cato.
It was, I believe, last
it was
Wednesday.
Chris Edwards?
Chris Wood. That's him.
Yeah, Chris Wood. Oh, okay. Yeah, in fact.
And he was talking about, you know, we need to make deep cuts to Medicare, Medicaid. What I think we need to do is take the congressional people off the Golden Fleece retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Because they serve our country for 4 years, why should they get their full salary for the rest of their life?
They don't. That's a conservative mythology, Ruth.
Okay, well, I'm sorry if I misunderstood that. The
pensions that our members of Congress get are, not that different from the pensions that GM workers get.
Okay.
And the health insurance that they get is, pretty much the same. For example, Peter DeFazio, I know, Bernie Sanders, they get Blue Cross.
Why are they not on Medicare like the rest of us?
Well,
Medicare, they'd fix the program real fast, wouldn't they?
I think that probably a lot of them, if they don't become rich by becoming lobbyists, may end up on Medicare or Medicaid. And yeah, you would think that they would fix it. The problem is, of course, that we have so much money corrupting the process. It's just terrible.
Exactly.
And I
understand that. I mean, like the gentleman that was just on earlier today, talking about needing to watchdog the people like Halliburton and stuff.
Yeah. No, this is a serious problem. And what we have, you've got a bunch of very wealthy right-wingers, primarily the Mars family and the Walton family, but a whole bunch of them running around saying, we got to stop the death tax, the inheritance tax on multimillionaires and billionaires. But the real death tax in America is on people who have retired and become ill, and in order to qualify for Medicaid, have to basically sell off everything that they've accumulated through an entire lifetime of working to make themselves sufficiently poor that they qualify for Medicaid so that they can then get hospitalization or hospice care. And that's crazy. It's absolutely
crazy.
That's
exactly where we are. I mean, we spent off $45,000 in savings that my husband had built up over the years.
Yeah, and that's wrong. That is
inheritance and through his own savings.
Yeah, this is a crime. And all of this money is going to, like, Bill Frist's family. You know, his father is one of the richest men in America. He's a multi-billionaire because he's running all these private hospitals, doing exactly what you're talking about, Ruth. You know, just
the
ripping
other thing
off America.
Is even though we're on Medicaid now, we have $1,000 a month we're supposed to spend on medical before they start helping us.
I know. We have a badly broken system. Ruth, thanks so much for the call. It's great to hear from you, and I wish you well in this. And I encourage you to call your member of Congress. 45 minutes past the hour.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Orrick XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Auric XL.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
The southern Great Plains still show the effects of a long-ago disaster. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Millions of buffalo once roamed the southern Great Plains, one of the largest grasslands in the world. But by the 1930s, aggressive farming and drought had turned parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and surrounding states into the Dust Bowl. Timothy Egan is the author of The Worst Hard Time. He says Franklin Roosevelt tried to provide relief for the region through Operation Dust Bowl. It included a tree planting campaign, 250 million were planted, and the creation of protected national grasslands.
There are 11 million acres in national grassland, and this is the net result of Roosevelt to try to restore the land. One of his thoughts was to resettle people and to try to bring grass back, and that's been partially successful. So you have these national grasslands run by the Forest Service in the Southern Plains. So you see parts of it, patches and bits and pieces of it, like a big open wound, have recovered.
But Egan says while the land is slowly recovering, the economy of the region continues to struggle, unable to adapt to large-scale agriculture.
The area has died, basically. The Southern Plains has died as a place where there are functioning towns. I'm not saying it's all like that, but most of these towns are just in their last gasp. There's no reason for people to live there anymore. The farm economy has largely collapsed because of big agriculture. There's very few family farms, and family farms needed small towns. Now they no longer need the small towns. The small towns have no reason to exist.
Egan says some people have proposed abandoning the plains altogether and turning it back into a vast, wild grassland. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer, and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
We're wussies for war, wussies for war. We don't even know what the war is for, but we will expedite it if somebody else will fight it, cause we're gung-ho.
We won't go wussies for war.
It's the official theme song of the Rove Cheney contingency, the Wussies for War. Welcome back, my friends. 9.5 minutes before the hour is the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the place where despair is not an option. Get active! Patricia in Sacramento, California on the line. Hey, Patricia, thank you for calling.
Hey, Tom. Tom, you know, I wanted to ask you something that's, you know, puzzling me here.
the way, I don't want to get into immigration here, but the people that mobilized in the streets in Los Angeles over the immigration issue, right. Why can't we get the American people to mobilize in the streets over all these, you know, like pertaining to your last caller, the cuts in Medicare, cuts in education? We have a president, administration that lied about going to war. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that.
Yeah.
What is it going to take? I guess I'm getting frustrated because I'm a mother of two, you know, and I'm busy, but I talk to my neighbors. I pass out information. I stand in front of a local store here, and I pass out information to people walking by. I talk to my friends. I call my senators. You know, what is it going to take for Americans to get angry enough, you know, to start mobilizing and protesting against all these terrible things that are happening to our country?
I think, Patricia, that they are, and they're going to do it at the ballot box in November. I really do. I mean, you just get this incredibly strong sense that there's this tidal wave building up and about to break in the United States. With regard to what happened in L.A., the Los Angeles Times did a really interesting kind of analysis piece on this yesterday, and what they found was that there are a number of Spanish language radio stations in Los Angeles in that area, and they compete with each other very aggressively, you know, music stations, talk stations, mostly music stations, and their DJs are like major personalities. They're like the rock stars of you know, L.A., and for the Spanish listening audience, and all of these competing and previously, you know, hating each other, you know, at least on the air, you know, kind of thing, all of these competing DJs all got together and said repeatedly over and over and over again on the air for hours and hours and hours or for days, show up on the streets, show up on the streets, show up on the streets. And that's what brought those people out on the streets. And frankly, we don't have a media structure in the United States right now. I mean, there's a right-wing media structure that could conceivably do that. You know, if all, you know, Limbaugh's on 600 stations, Hannity's on 500 stations, if all the right-wingers were to call for massive demonstrations, it's conceivable that they could get people out on the streets in the United States. Air America Radio, Jones Radio Network, which are the primary syndicators of progressive talk programming, I don't think that we're reaching enough people that, at the moment, that we could say, turn up on the streets and people would show up on the streets. And the mass media won't cover it. That's the other problem. So it's like we haven't quite, on a national level, got the momentum. Now, on a local level, for example, I do a program on KPOJ in Portland, Oregon, before I do this program. I do a three-hour local program, and then I do a three-hour national program. And with the local program, there's a protest tonight happening in Portland, and it's been going on for 20 some odd weeks, and we publicize it on the radio, and people show up, and people and, you know, a whole bunch of the, in fact, there's another labor protest going on Friday or Saturday here in Portland, so we're able to get people out in Portland, but to do it at a national level, I think, frankly, it's a media issue, Patricia, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But the thing, Tom, that's puzzling to me in addition to that is that, you know, I understand what you're saying with the media having contact, you know, with these people where they're able to get together and form, you know, a large protest. But at the same time, here's my issue. When NAFTA was getting passed under the Clinton administration, where were these people in the streets? Why weren't they going to, they knew that NAFTA was not just going to affect the United States, but Mexico and Canada.
There was a lot of concern about NAFTA, and what confused people was that Bill Clinton, who presented himself as the friend of the people, was pushing for NAFTA. And I think a lot of people are going, there must be something I don't know about this, because they trusted him. And he betrayed us.
Well, he did, but, you know, you've got the corrupt government there in Mexico with Mr. Vincenzo Fox. You know, why aren't they protesting the corrupt government? You know what I mean? It's like they're not reaching the core of the issue. And I fear in our country, we're going to end up the same way. We're going to have two classes, the rich and the poor.
Well, we're increasingly moving in that direction. We're moving in that direction very quickly, Patricia. And in Mexico, if you protest against Vicente Fox, you try to do it in any really organized and aggressive fashion, you're toast. I mean, you know, you've got an oligarchy there, and you've got it's not an obvious police state, but people are very afraid of that government, and so we'll have to see how this all shakes out. But I think, Patricia, that ultimately it's going to happen in the ballot boxes in the United States. Patricia, I got to move along. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Francie in Jacksonville, Florida. Hey, Francie.
Hey, Tom. It's Francie.
Hey, Francie. What's up?
I just wonder if, I guess, make a comment on Patricia's call that parts of the reasons why we as Americans haven't stood up and mobilized like they did in L.A. is because that was personal to them.
Mm-hmm.
That was their neighbors. That could have possibly been their family.
Yeah.
And
in fact, in most cases, probably was.
Exactly. And right now, with all of the corruption going on in the government, it still sort of feels like, as Americans, we're outside the Beltway. And while this does affect us, we don't know how to mobilize on a local level for the effects that are happening on a federal level. And until people really start to realize what's happening there and how not only just the corruption on a level, but our children learning about this later in school, like, hello, can you imagine the history book that's going to be written? How's that going to possibly ever say, and we went to war on the thought of weapons of mass destruction that have never been found or never existed?
Well, our history books now, you know, Francie, are starting to say that the Gulf of Tonkin resolution was based on a lie.
Right.
And so I suspect that George W. Bush is going to go down in history as a guy who lied us into a war.
Let's hope so. Let's hope it doesn't get skewed. I mean,
but in terms of people, you know, turning out in the streets, I think you make a good point about, you know, it's close to home and personal for the folks in L.A. and a lot of Americans don't yet have a sense of that. I think also a lot of Americans are still confused about the issues. There's been an enormous amount of obfuscation out there, just a huge media machine trying to make us believe that, you know, the everything's just fine with the economy, and Bush knows what he's doing, and tax cuts are a good thing, and it's, you know, large, huge multinational corporations that own our media, and essentially rock stars who are the folks, you know, that get up to being the anchor on CBS or NBC or ABC, big time. 57 minutes past the hour.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
This is Vasilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show, absolutely, without question. Whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Update your kitchen with custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Your kitchen can look like new again in about 4 to 6 days without the cost, time, or mess of totally remodeling. See for yourself. Call 1-800-300-8065 for a free design consultation. Call right now and save $500 on select styles. Sears offers over 100 door and drawer combinations to suit any budget and style. And best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. So don't replace your kitchen cabinets, reface them. Call Sears at 1-800-300-8065 and save $500 on select styles. Offer ends 4/29/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. Custom cabinet refacing from Sears, 1-800-300-8065. Call now at 1-800-300-8065.
This is Air America Radio News. I'm Chris Nsiabwadi. The Senate begins its debate on the issue of immigration reform today, and the Senate Democrats appear to be parting company with longtime Labour allies, the AFL-CIO, over the issue of guest worker programs for undocumented workers. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney criticized plans to expand guest worker programs, saying that these plans, quote, cast workers into a perennial second-class status and unfairly put their fates into their employees' hands. Italy has granted asylum for Abdul Rahman, the Afghan man who faced the death penalty for converting from Islam to Christianity. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi said Rahman was in the care of the Interior Ministry after arriving in Italy. Italy was moved to grant Rahman asylum after an appeal from Pope Benedict to Afghanistan's president and efforts by the United Nations to find a country to give Rahman asylum. Charles Taylor has now arrived in Liberia, the country he once ruled. It was reported earlier today that Taylor was arrested by Nigerian border police as he tried to cross into neighboring Cameroon. It marked a dramatic turn of events from yesterday when Nigerian authorities announced that they were unable to produce Mr. Taylor for extradition to Liberia. The former president faces a 17-count war crime indictment for his role in a series of civil wars in West Africa during the 1990s that claimed at least 300,000 lives. The sectarian fighting that has plagued Iraq is changing how and where many of its citizens live. According to the International Organization for Migration, at least 25,000 Iraqis have been displaced since the internal violence that escalated last month. And many Iraqis are seeking safety in areas that are populated mainly by their own group. Most are forced to live in shelters in tent cities, and aid agencies working in Iraq warn that they expect the figure of displaced Iraqis to increase dramatically as the conflict continues. Democrats will release a position paper today on national security just over 7 months before the midterm congressional elections. The paper seeks to cut into the public perception that Republicans are tougher on security, and the paper pledges, amongst other things, to step up the hunt for Osama bin Laden. You're listening to Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hey, Orkin Man. I think termites are destroying my kid's wood swing set.
Oh, that's not good. What makes you think it's termites?
I don't know. The swings are lower.
But are you sure your kids aren't just taller?
Even the baby's got skin knees.
Oh.
Not my house could be next.
Could be. Those little foragers can travel over 100 feet.
Duh, it's only 30 to the house.
Don't worry. One of our experts can treat these and help prevent more in the future.
Thanks, Orkin Guy.
Man.
Man.
For a free inspection, just call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz6.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us the plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, "Whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it." And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site, at www.ecowine.com.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here, the place where progressives fiendishly plot for total world domination, or at least clean elections and national health care. Good workplace. You know, middle class. We'd like our middle class back. Welcome back to our program. Our quote for the day from Theodore Roosevelt, the Republican Roosevelt. He said, to waste, to destroy our natural resources, to skin and exhaust the land instead of using it so as to increase its usefulness, will result in undermining the days of our children, the very prosperity which we ought by right to hand down to them, amplified and developed. Teddy Roosevelt, the Republican Roosevelt, our quote for the day. Jeffrey Feldman is with us with frameshopisopen.com. Be sure you get the is open part in there before the .com. Jeffrey Feldman, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom.
Jeffrey, the GOP loses control of three key frames heading into the 2006 elections. You say, I love the smell of framing in the morning. It's the smell of what?
Smell of victory for the Democrats.
What are these three key frames?
Well, I think the three key frames that the Democrats, that the Republicans have lost control of are national security, leadership, and spending. I think these are three areas in the debate. And I want to make perfectly clear here that I'm not suggesting that the Democrats have already won all the elections in 2006. Absolutely not. But I want to point out that in these three key areas that the Republicans have dominated for at least the last several election cycles, we now have Democrats who appear to be in good control of these, or if not, the GOP has completely lost it.
And you think that they actually have?
I think that they have. I mean, I think in the issue of, in particular, national security, you know, you've got a real problem with regards to the buildup of anxiety in the general public with regards to the Iraq War, the port scandal, and now something which was a little bit unexpected, but the anxiety over security coming out of the Republican base on the immigration issue. You've got a Republican voter that is increasingly looking to this administration as a liability when it comes to national security, not a source of strength. On the issue of leadership, you've got President Bush, he defined himself as a strong leader who makes strong choices. He did this throughout both campaigns. He did this in the Social Security attempt to dismantle Social Security. Now he's got himself in this incredible bind where, as a result of the Abramoff scandal, and again, even this immigration issue, he seems unable to speak very clearly at all. We're never quite sure what President Bush is saying, and the public is increasingly looking at him as someone who skirts around the truth as a form of leadership rather than standing up and saying what he thinks, which was his huge, strong asset.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it comes to spending, this one is crystal clear. You've got under the Bush administration this incredible spending hole that they have dug the country into. And in response to this, Bush, he nominates the person who was in charge of the Office of Management and Budget, Josh Bolton, to be his chief of staff in the White House rather than actually doing something about this spending. Conservative Republicans, people who define themselves through this image and idea of fiscal conservatism, they now see that the Republican Party is in serious trouble as the public sees them as just part of what they perceived earlier as a problem of big government. Now they associate it with the Republican Party. So in these three areas, I think these are three really strong frames that the Democrats have a chance to stand up and take control of.
Which raises the obvious next question, Jeffrey Feldman with frameshopisopen.com. Are the Democrats actually using these three frames? And if so, how? And how might it be amplified? And are they doing it successfully by intent or simply by, you know, bumbling into it? And if not, what should they be doing? Let's go through them one at a time.
I think that the Democrats are doing a fairly good job. Just right now, as we started this phone call, the Democrats are holding a press conference at Union Station in D.C. in order to try to take control of national security. They are talking about a smart approach to national security, which is a great way to talk about things. The Republican Party has for a long time tried to use this notion of brute strength, which gets them into all kinds of trouble with regards to both invading foreign countries, torture, and so forth. When the Democrats talk about smart national security, I think they take control of that particular frame. When it comes to leadership, I think the Democrats are getting there. I think they're still wrapped around themselves a little bit, but they could certainly talk about being honest and straightforward and take control of that area. In that respect, Howard Dean, I think he's doing a great job. I always like the way the job that Dean has done, but lately he's just been using the phrase, have you had enough yet? Have you had enough?
Yeah.
Which is a really powerful way to talk about leadership.
It's this era's equivalent of, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Exactly.
I mean, that frame worked so well for Reagan, and have you had enough? It's great.
Interestingly, that phrase, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago or 3 years ago, has come up in the context of the discussion of the Iraq War.
Sure. Well, and the economy as well. I mean, that's a frame that could be used again. It's just that everybody who has memory of Reagan would be probably at some visceral emotional level connected to Reagan, and that might be a not useful thing for Democrats.
Exactly. Now, the third frame, the notion of spending, here is where I think a candidate like Mark Warner really is in very good position. He has been talking for some time now about turning Virginia around during his governorship, mm-hmm. about controlling spending, and using what we call, what I've been calling this management frame, which can criticize the president as being incompetent on spending, which is a relatively politically neutral idea, believe it or not. Not talking about the Iraq War, just talking about management, and that seems to be a very effective way to take control of that third idea, the spending frame.
Interesting. Now, what you see these as the three key frames. Are there others that the Democrats are missing or that the Republicans still have control of?
Well, they still seem to have control of this these wedge issues. Just this past
the morality frame.
The morality frame. Just this past week, there was a conference held in Washington concerned voters about values voters, in which they tried to talk about the war on Christianity. Those things are still, the Democrats are still struggling to try to figure out a way to deal with those brutal attempts to divide the public.
Well, in part, you have, for example, Michael Lerner, who is an old friend of mine and just a great guy. And, he wrote The Left Hand of God and publishes Tikkun magazine. And he's out there talking about morality. Michael is Jewish. You've got the fellow who is running Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, whose name is escaping me right now. He's been on the program a few times, and he's a Christian minister, and he's talking. And it seems to me that there should be a coming together. It would be great if there was Barry Lynn, actually, is his name. It would be great if there was a pulling together of some kind under an umbrella, the way that Jerry Falwell did back in the 1980s when he created the Moral Majority. If we could create some sort of an organization or institution or whatever, a movement that is, Americans for Moral Behavior, or the moral majority, that's been used, but basically recapture that, because the fact of the matter is that whether you're using secular morality as the baseline, whether you're using Christian morality as the baseline, Jewish morality, Hindu, Buddhist, Islamic, I mean, pick your religion, animist and Wiccans, the morality is all the same. Care for the poor, feed the hungry, help the sick, visit those in prison. And the cons are absolutely not addressing any of those issues. It seems to me like this is just laying on the ground waiting for somebody to pick up.
It does seem that way. I mean, one interesting thing that happened this week on that issue was Dick Durbin's amendment to the immigration bill that came up, in which the bill that was put forward by Republicans in the House and the Senate would result in religious organizations being essentially criminalized for assisting immigrants. And Durbin put forward an interesting amendment in which he attempted to remove those organizations from being culpable in those situations. So there is an attempt, but I agree. The book in particular by Lerner, Left Hand of God, should have gotten more play than it did, but it really demonstrates one of the key problems of framing is that if there isn't that media connection between people doing the writing, people in the blogosphere, the media, and the candidates, then a great initiative like Lerner's book ends up falling a little bit flat. You get a third-rate book like John Gibson's War on Christmas, and it ends up, you know, dominating the media for 2 weeks, even a month, because there is that connection there.
Well, and also because you had Rupert Murdoch willing to lose, literally lose, hundreds of millions of dollars over a five-year period to launch the Fox TV network, Fox News network. And ultimately, now it's making money, but only in the last year or two. And that has not happened on the left. There is no equivalent on the left.
Exactly.
So they have this giant echo machine, in both in right-wing radio and in television, and we have us. I mean, we're doing our best. We're doing our best. And you're doing a great job, Jeffrey Feldman. People who want to learn more about framing, do you have a basic how-to on your website over frameshopisopen.com?
I do. If you do a search on there for five steps of framing, I've got a search button right there on my site. It'll get you to an introductory essay, and that'll get people started.
Marvelous. Jeffrey Feldman, the website, frameshopisopen.com. Check it out. Jeffrey, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Tom.
Great speaking with you as always. It's 16 minutes past the hour. Truth in Broadcasting. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies. So I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
You will be thrilled to learn that Walmart has been taking bold steps to spiff up its sordid image. Not such steps as paying decent wages and offering good benefits, mind you, nor steps to stop selling billions of dollars worth of sweatshop products every year, nor steps to stop using predatory tactics to crush local businesses when it moves into an area. Instead, Walmart's boldness is in the area of PR flimflammery. In December, a new group calling itself Working Families for Walmart suddenly sprang up. Was this a spontaneous grassroots uprising by employees and supporters of the retailing giant? No, it's a front group created and funded by the corporation itself for the sole purpose of praising itself. Also, in the past year, there's been a rash of bloggers ranting against Walmart's many critics and defending the corporate behemoth. Are their blogs simply the product of the freewheeling and fiercely independent Internet spirit? Uh-uh. These bloggers are routinely spoon-fed talking points and language by a right-wing operative of the Edelman Company, one of Walmart's PR firms. Even though many of the bloggers end up using the exact same sentences and so-called facts provided by Walmart's online operative, they commonly fail to mention any connection between their rants and the corporation. It's hard to develop an ethical image if you're using unethical tactics. So one wonders what Walmart's newest hire will make of all of this. In March, the company said it was seeking applicants for a new position, Director of Global Ethics. The posting says that candidates must have an impeccable reputation for integrity and be able to lead a global ethics strategy. This is Jim Hightower saying, right there is Walmart's problem. One's ethics is not a strategy. It's an ingrained virtue. No amount of strategic image making can cover up this corporation's obvious lack of ethics.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
The Tom Hartman Program.
And if I tell the truth, then I would have to tell you this. Though I grieve and I believe, I feel it truly. But I knew the ship was empty by the time it hit the rock.
And welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour at the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Viagra for your brain. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, smalldog.com. Give them a shout, 1-800-511-MACS. Greg Gorman is with us with the Talk Radio News Service in Washington, D.C., talkradionews.com. Hey, Greg.
Hello, Tom.
Welcome to the program. What's going on in Washington, D.C. today?
Well, there's a few things going on. One is that the president is getting ready for his trip to Cancun, Mexico. So a lot of the people who are going on that trip are very happy about that because they get a few days in the sun.
Nice.
which is always nice. I've been to Cancun, and it's absolutely lovely there.
I've been there several times. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
As you know, he'll be meeting with the new prime minister of Canada, Stephen Harper, and with the president of Mexico. And, of course, one thing that will come up is the whole issue of immigration. Even though it's not on the agenda originally, it is now, and it's something that, you know, all three leaders of North America will be talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, in that context, if I could just ask you or suggest to you or recommend to you or whatever, if you go to commondreams.org, the top story is one that I wrote on this topic, immigration. And I think Ellen and Victoria would find it fascinating. I'd in particular be interested in getting Victoria's take on it because my understanding is that she's a legal immigrant.
That's right. She is a legalized American. She went through the entire process. She has lots of stories about how long a process it was, but she is a proud American citizen now.
Right. So I'd be very curious to hear her take on it. So if you could facilitate that, I'd appreciate it.
I'd be happy to do that.
Next time we talk to Victoria.
Actually, I'll make sure to do that.
Thank you very much.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up a little bit more about the White House, you know, it's interesting now that it's been 24 hours or more than 24 hours since we heard about the resignation of Andy Card. Yesterday it seemed like the consensus around Washington was that Andy Card left of his own volition, and there could be nothing said about a Bush shakeup in the White House.
Right.
Now it looks like that maybe it is more of a shakeup than we thought. And Josh Bolton, who is the new chief of staff or will be in April, may do a lot more than we thought in helping the president. And not only he will be extending his hand to Congress a lot more than Andy Card did, but he's a lot more popular around town than Andy Card seems to be. And so maybe in some way the White House, you know, did know what it was doing and readily accepted Andy Card's resignation. As opposed to, it's sad to see him go, if you will.
I think it's a case of when you got nothing to lose. You know?
Or
been down so long, it looks like up to me. Or, I mean, you know, whichever old song you want to take, or old poem, it's just that the Bush administration is so far down in the tank that they're just looking up going, you know, we'll do anything. and which is frankly a little scary. What's the word in Washington D.C. right now about the possibility of a war with Iran? That's sort of vanished from our national radar screen over the last week or two, and yet I know it's still percolating in the background.
Well, it is, and you know, we've been saying for a long time that the president unfortunately has tied his own hands because he put all his eggs in one basket, if you will, in Iraq. And the fact that there's not a lot of ground support, we don't have the troops, we don't have the money to go into Iran. And if that ends up being a necessity somehow, that we have to go into Iran because of the nuclear program or because of the war on terror or because of anything, you know, what can the president really do? It's obviously still there.
Or because of low poll numbers.
And because of low poll numbers, because, you know, they love those wars, Tom.
There you go. Well, that's my point. I mean, if it's a new election, it's got to be a new Republican war. And I've been, frankly, for 3 years on this program, I've been saying that in 2006 the war would be Syria, and in 2008 the war would be Iran. And I still believe that, even though all the evidence out there seems to indicate that the 2006 war might be Iran, or they might do what they did in 2002 and 2004, which is use the midterm elections to gin up the war, to talk about war, and really pump it, you know, really hard, starting in September, because you don't roll out a new product in August, you'll recall. In fact, it was Andy Card who said that, wasn't it? And, pump this thing in September, and then in 2007, start the war so that they'll have it for 2008.
Well, you know, Tom, I can tell you that there is a lot of talk already about these midterm elections, and a lot of people on the GOP side in our circles are saying, even though we're not really going to announce this, we are scared that we're going to lose either the House or the Senate. And so, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to say, you know, we need to wave that war on terror banner.
Yeah, wave that bloody banner. Yeah, just wave the bloody cloth, I think, is the old Scottish phrase, you know. I just have this sense that the Bushies have nothing else. It's like a rat that's cornered, and it's not a good thing. Greg Gorman, talkradionews.com. Greg, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Always a pleasure to have you, and I look forward to your feedback on our article there. 27 minutes past the hour at the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Orrick XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Ever.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why is that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon.
Canyon.
Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now, I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies, so I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
Fewer than 500 salaried employees were laid off by General Motors at 30 locations yesterday. Dubbed Black Tuesday by the media, the layoffs follow an announcement earlier this year of plans to slash the jobs of more than 36,000 hourly workers in North America by 2008. Last Wednesday, GM announced it had negotiated a buyout plan with the unions representing those hourly workers for between $35,000 and $140,000. The salaried employees laid off yesterday are not eligible for the buyout plan, but do receive a severance pay of 1 month for every year they were employed by the automaker, up to 15 months. In January, GM laid off 500 engineers, and last year laid off 2,000 salaried employees.
Students are working with labor on campuses nationwide this week on joint corporate campaigns. Silky Shah, an organizer with Not With Our Money, says it pays for labor to forge alliances with university students.
The investment's really important from the labor community. A good example is the Taco Bell campaign and some of the stuff that's going on with living wage right now. I think students play a major role in just getting attention to these issues.
Shah says a campaign is underway against Farallon, a hedge fund that invests in private prison operator Corrections Corporation of America. Carl Lipscomb, coordinator of the Student Labor Action Project, says a campaign is also underway against Coca-Cola for alleged human rights abuses. Lipscomb says he hopes these actions reach students who are unaware of unions and labor issues.
One of the main things we want to do is educate the students that aren't necessarily involved, students that don't know what unions are or what the functions of unions are, that don't know what the workers on their campuses are, what the janitors that are cleaning their rooms, what their plight is. We hope to educate them on workers' rights issues and also teach them what they can do to support workers.
Pfizer is being sued by labor unions for marketing Lipitor for unapproved uses. The suit says that by marketing Lipitor for uses outside of federal guidelines, the unions made billions of dollars in overpayments for members' prescriptions. While physicians may prescribe drugs as necessary, drug companies may only market drugs in accordance with federally approved uses.
Here's the WIN Economic Report. Major U.S. defense companies like Lockheed Martin are dealing with a consequence of the end of the Cold War, a serious shortfall in engineers. While there's no problem finding systems or software engineers, a deficit looms in more traditional areas such as mechanical and aeronautical engineering. Last year, the U.S. produced about 80,000 engineers, compared to 300,000 from India. In 1989, the U.S. aerospace and defense workforce was 1.2 million people. Today, it's just 580,000.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer. And save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Work fair, foul air, homeless beggars everywhere. Put your phone, aristocrats lounge around the pool.
Yes. Here's folks who earn their living sitting around the pool on their butts waiting for the dividend checks to arrive. Pay a maximum 15% income tax and no Social Security tax. A bunch of them out there. Interesting, saw a stat this morning of the 180,000 millionaires in the United States, only 30 of them were audited, so it's a very much a lower number than average middle class folks. We're gonna be doing a segment here, and just a regular, I want to do this regularly right up until the elections, where we get on progressive candidates and we talk about taking our country back, and this is our theme song for it.
And I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her
watching you and I don't like how you've been treating my stars and stripes. You took our jobs and sent them overseas. Now we owe billions to the red Chinese. You blew the budget and you bossed Iraq. So I'm taking my country back.
That's the Honky Talkers for Truth with our theme song.
And the treasury drawer more than there had ever been before. But every day we're down and deeper in debt. Maybe 4 years should be all you get.
Well, this was.
And you gave tax breaks to the millionaires. And you tried to make the working man pay. But you can't tax a man when his job's not there. Now look at where we are today. Hey, I'm taking my car.
And we're getting fine candidates all across the United States who are standing up and saying, we're going to take our country back. We're going to participate. We're going to stand up for office. And what they need is for the rest of us to be supporting them.
Got too many fancy friends for me. The Saudis treat you like you're royalty. You blew the budget and you bossed Iraq. Now I'm taking my country back. Now I can understand why you were hot. Cause Bin Laden never did get caught. So you said we had Saddam to blame. Tried to tell us it was all the same. Now the years roll by and our kids keep dying. You don't even have a plan to bring them home. Those WMD you promised on TV, admit it, you figured it wrong.
That's why we're taking our country back, my friends. And step by step, it's going to be one district by district, congressional district by congressional district, state by state, U.S. United States Senate, local races. Progressive candidates all over the United States are standing up. And we're going to be featuring them on this program.
You know my name, but you know who I am. I'm your everyday work hard, play hard, raise kids and pray hard, common man. And Lord knows I love this land.
And today we have with us John Tester. His website, testerforsenate.com, T-E-S-T-E-R, for senate.com. John Tester running for the state senate in Montana. John Tester, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom. It's good to be here.
Great to have you with us. John Tester, tell us about who you're running against and why you're running.
Well, I'm running for the Montana U.S. Senate position against a fellow by the name of Senator Burns, and I'm running much in the way your song just came up to give representation to all the people of the state of Montana, not just the ones who have paid to play, so to speak. And it's really critical. I'm a middle class kind of guy. We run a family farm, my wife and I, that my grandparents and my parents farmed, and the representation we have gotten over the last 5 to 10 years has not been what I would say adequate nor reasonable, and I think it's time that we step up the plate and really do the kind of things necessary to enable people, the working folks of this country, to be successful and enjoy the kind of quality of life that our ancestors helped make for us to enjoy.
Well said, John Tester, running for the United States Senate. I said state, Montana, the state, the United States Senate on behalf of the state of Montana.
Yeah.
And Conrad Burns now. Conrad Burns, if my memory serves me correctly, was the largest recipient of Jack Abramoff's money?
That's correct. As reported in the New York Times and other papers like that, you're exactly right on.
How does that play in Montana?
Well, I think Montana is a place where, you know, we expect our politicians, our business people, to be honest, and when you have a situation that Senator Burns has found himself into and not really come clean on it even to this day, I don't think the Montanans really respect that very well. And you know, in Montana, and I don't think it's a lot different anywhere else, honesty, integrity is kind of a bedrock. People expect that to be a value that all folks have, and I just think Senator Burns has made some very poor decisions in regard to Jack Abramoff, and I think it's catching up with him.
John Tester, are you going to be running in a Democratic primary, or are you the definite Democratic candidate?
No, we do have a Democratic primary here in Montana.
And you have presumably a number of opponents?
Yeah, actually, the filing deadline was just about a week ago, and there turned out to be five of them in the Democratic primary.
Six of you altogether, you mean?
Yeah, that's just the Democrats. I think there's three on the Republican side.
So Conrad Burns actually has opposition on the Republican side from people...
Yeah, he does, Tom. Yeah, there was a couple folks that got in the last week to 10 days.
That's usually a sign of a very weak candidate, you know, when a sitting senator has a primary challenge.
Well, it will be interesting to see how the whole political thing unfolds between now and the primary election June 6th.
Yeah. John Tester, your competitors for the Democratic nomination to run against Conrad Burns. How is that election shaping up?
Well, I think it's shaping up fine. I mean, I think I've got a little better profile to win in the general, and I've got a record of fighting and winning in the Montana Senate. I'm currently president of the Montana Senate, and we've dealt with a lot of issues, healthcare, energy, issues that deal with renewable energy, jobs, state lands issue. So I've got a pretty good profile to win, and we're maintaining a very positive primary and talking about my qualities in the primary rather than being negative. We don't think that serves the people of the state of Montana very well.
That's great. Let's talk about a few of the issues here with you, John. We're talking with John Tester. His website, testerforsenate.com. He's going to be running against. In all probability, if assuming that you win the Democratic primary, you will be running against Conrad Burns for the United States Senate. Education.
Well, it's public education is one of the backbones for democracy for this country. And in the last session of the Montana Senate, we addressed education like it had not been addressed ever before. After years of cutting off state funding for K-12 education, we put almost $250 million into it, which is a lot of money for the state of Montana, to help K-12 education, give them the kind of resources that they need to succeed. And we're not done yet. I think that issue needs to be addressed every session. But education, K-12 education, needs to be a local control issue too, by the way. The No Child Left Behind, I do not agree with at all. Anytime the federal government starts telling local communities how to run their school systems, I think it's a mistake. So I'm a very strong proponent of public education.
John Tester, Thomas Jefferson created the University of Virginia, and in fact, on his tombstone, he didn't want it to say President of the United States. He wanted it to say Founder of the University of Virginia, among other things. But my point is, and his idea was that would be a free university,
mm-hmm.
that anybody who had the capability of attending could attend. And the reason why, and he was quite explicit about this, the reason why was because he felt that would create the highest probability for social mobility, which he felt was essential for a democracy to function. What's your take on higher education?
Well, I'm with Thomas Jefferson. I think that the key to success in this world is education. And anytime you start pricing folks out of the ability to get a higher education, which we've done pretty much across the board in this country, I think it's a huge mistake. And one of the things that I think really does allow people to improve themselves is higher ed, and it's got to be affordable, and there's got to be research dollars there. We can't have our professors out continually looking about how to pay the next bill when, in fact, it really is a public responsibility to pay for the lion's share of the money that goes into higher ed. And I agree with President Jefferson. I think that higher ed is one of the keys to success in the country.
With regard to foreign policy, we have this mess here in Iraq right now. What's your position on that? We have, by the way, about a minute left here.
Well, real quickly, I mean, I think the president needs to get a plan to get out as soon as possible. I think that there was a mistake going in. We went in under false pretenses, and I don't see that we're getting a lot accomplished there. In fact, I think the area is being more unstable, and I think that the war on terror isn't really happening the way we were led to believe it could do. That being said, I've got to tell you that the people over there fighting this war are true heroes in my mind, putting their lives on the line every day.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's very, very important through this process of redeployment that we support our troops, not only while they're in the battlefield with the best possible armor and material available, but also when they get back home in their benefits. So
yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Which this administration is cutting. And Social Security.
Social Security should not be privatized. It's a program that's worked very well for the last 70-some years or longer, and it's a program that our elderly folks depend upon, and if we start privatizing this stuff, it puts it at risk and puts the taxpayers at risk of paying for it, too.
Could be a mess. John Tester, the candidate for the United States Senate, the great state of Montana, is going to be running against Conrad Burns. His website, Tester, T-E-S-T-E-R, for Senate, F-O-R-Senate.com. Check it out. John Tester, thank you for being with us.
Hey, Tom, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Great speaking with you. 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartmann Radio Program.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
The southern Great Plains still show the effects of a long-ago disaster. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Millions of buffalo once roamed the southern Great Plains, one of the largest grasslands in the world. But by the 1930s, aggressive farming and drought had turned parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and surrounding states into the Dust Bowl. Timothy Egan is the author of The Worst Hard Time. He says Franklin Roosevelt tried to provide relief for the region through Operation Dust Bowl. It included a tree planting campaign, 250 million were planted, and the creation of protected national grasslands.
There are 11 million acres in national grassland, and this is the net result of Roosevelt to try to restore the land. One of his thoughts was to resettle people and to try to bring grass back, and that's been partially successful. So you have these national grasslands run by the Forest Service in the Southern Plains. So you see parts of it, patches and bits and pieces of it, like a big open wound, have recovered.
But Egan says while the land is slowly recovering, the economy of the region continues to struggle, unable to adapt to large-scale agriculture.
The area has died, basically. The Southern Plains has died as a place where there are functioning towns. I'm not saying it's all like that, but most of these towns are just in their last gasp. There's no reason for people to live there anymore. The farm economy has largely collapsed because of big agriculture. There are very few family farms, and family farms needed small towns. Now they no longer need the small towns. The small towns have no reason to exist.
Egan says some people have proposed abandoning the plains altogether and turning it back into a vast, wild grassland. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've heard the saying, you get what you pay for, and it's true, especially when you're building. Terry Mosteller of Lumberton, Mississippi knows it for a fact. She called to report her General Steel building is still standing and looks as good as the day it was built, even after Hurricane Katrina destroyed or severely damaged nearly every other building in town. We salute those who were affected by the recent hurricanes as they rebuild and take pride in knowing that our buildings stand up to the ultimate test. When it comes to your building project with General Steel, you do get what you pay for.
General Steel is offering rebates right now up to $20,000. Call now for details. 800-965-1295, 800-965-1295. Call 24/7 for your free General Steel quote. 800-965-1295, 800-965-1295.
Thank you.
fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
On September 12th, we had the world on our side. But George Bush, he started to divide. He cut off the UN and our allies too. And now he wants to drive a wedge between me and you. But fear didn't make America great. Fear didn't make America great. Fear didn't make America great. Fear didn't make America great.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
And welcome back, my friends. 10 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Our number 1-866-440-8466. In just a moment, we'll be going to your calls. However, first, time for a Berlusconi alert. Our Berlusconi alert for the day. Yes. Romano Prodi. Maybe it's Prodi. I don't know. Italy's opposition leader. Today accused Silvio Berlusconi, the prime minister, of damaging that nation's international image. Yes, last weekend, Silvio Berlusconi told a rally that Mao Zedong, when he launched China's Great Leap Forward in the late 1950s, that communist cadres, to quote Berlusconi, didn't eat babies but boiled them to fertilize the fields, end quote. China's foreign ministry issued a protest on Monday. Berlusconi says he learned it from a book that was published in France in 1997 titled The Black Book of Communism. He believes it's true. I don't get to, he says, it's just not on that one cannot speak of true facts. Say what? In any case, Mr. Prodi says, this is something that really does terrible damage to us. These are acts of real carelessness and show an incomprehensible inability to understand what today's world is like. Our Berlusconi alert for the day.
Stand from that Stand from that
And of course, the reason why we keep track of Silvio Berlusconi is, keep in mind, this was a guy who was a small-time crook. An entrepreneur, started a business, bought a radio station, bought another radio station, bought a TV station, bought a newspaper, bought another radio station, bought another TV station, bought a radio network, bought a TV network, bought another newspaper, bought a newspaper chain, bought another radio network, bought another TV network, until finally he owned 90% of all the media in Italy. Or at least media that could reach 90% of all the people in Italy, all of the radio networks, all of the television networks, most of the major newspapers, and then he ran for office! And guess what? He won. What a surprise. A cautionary tale for the United States of America. 888-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Jeff in Sacramento, California. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. What's on your mind today, Jeff?
Well, I want to respond to your suggestion on the immigration problem.
Yes, sir.
The fact that you suggest that they make laws that are tough on the employer for employing the immigrants, but do not follow up with a tough penalty for being here and also for deportation, I think will not work for California especially, because that's just an oversimplification of the problem. In California, the Democratic legislature is the one that is supporting the illegals.
Oh, I understand that. You've got politicians of both parties in the state of California pandering to illegal immigration, to illegal labor, basically, because, you know, the big companies in the state are lining their pockets. I got that. And yet, at the same time, think of it like drugs, Jeff, for just a minute. If everybody in the United States suddenly, if we just solved our drug problem overnight and nobody in the United States wanted to buy cocaine anymore because nobody wanted to use it, would anybody be trying to smuggle cocaine into the United States?
But in California,
nobody would. And
in California, they would, because in California, the legislator is trying to cultivate the illegal vote.
I understand.
So what they'll do is that they'll provide. I mean, we're spending $12 billion a year to provide benefits for the illegals already, and all that the legislator will do is, if they can't work, they'll just provide them with more benefits from taxpayers' money, so that they will stay in hopes that someday they will be able to vote for the Democrats, and that's basically.
Actually, I think, you know, Jeff, I think that there is some element of pandering for votes, and well, probably a substantial one. I think the bigger one is pandering for campaign contributions from big agriculture businesses.
I think the other part is more true right now because the Democrats do need the illegal votes. They're setting up the voting system in California so that illegal voting has been happening, and they're trying to encourage it to happen more.
Yeah. No, I absolutely understand, and I, you know, Jeff, I got it. I got it. Thank you. You make a good point. Linda in Lake Stevens, Washington. Hey, Linda, we have about a minute left. What's up?
Good morning, Tom. I've been a criminal investigator for 36 years, and the one thing I've learned in my career is that to the criminal, nothing's more important than money. And I'm really tired of the criminals in Washington who've taken over my country and they're stealing and misusing my tax dollars.
You're referring to our first segment, the need for another Truman Commission to look into the crimes of the Bush administration and their spending with Halliburton and whatnot?
Yes, exactly. I was wondering, is there a legal way for dissenting Americans to withhold our taxes to force these people to deal with us?
To the best of my knowledge, Linda, there is not.
Okay.
You know, in fact, there are people who have been prosecuted for this, and that was the Boston Legal Show, you know, that we played the little clip of last week. That was all about that. And I think I told the story about how back when I was doing radio, when I was doing news back in the early 70s, we actually had the FBI and the INS, or the FBI and the IRS, come into our newsroom one day and ask us not to cover a story about about people being busted for refusing to pay their income taxes, who were then protesting the war in Vietnam. And so I've kept an eye on this, and I don't think that there's any way to do that. I think the thing to do is to get politically active. That's what we have to do. On the ground, get out there, get politically active. Linda, I've got to move along. The music is playing and the clock is ticking. Thank you so much for the call, though, and thank you for listening there in all probability on Talk 1090 in Seattle. It's 57 minutes past the hour. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, exposing the con in conservative. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
This is Air America Radio News. I'm Chris Nsiabwadi. In the last hour, a Miami judge sentenced disgraced former lobbyist Jack Abramoff to 5 years and 10 months in prison in a Florida fraud case related to his purchase with a partner of the Sun Cruise Casino's gambling fleet. The sentence represents the minimum allowed under the law. The sectarian fighting that has plagued Iraq is changing how and where many of its citizens live. According to the International Organization for Migration, at least 25,000 Iraqis have been displaced since the internal violence escalated last month, and many Iraqis are seeking safety in areas that are populated mainly by their own group. Most are forced to live in shelters and tent cities, and aid agencies working in Iraq warn that they expect the figure of displaced Iraqis to increase dramatically as the conflict continues. Meanwhile, the security situation in Baghdad remains desperate. Today, 8 people died and 6 were wounded in Baghdad when 6 gunmen disguised as members of the Iraqi police force sprayed employees and customers with machine gun fire. And as President Bush talked about alleged progress in Iraq in Washington today, Democrats have given their position on national security. The Democrats' Real Security Plan calls for, amongst other things, ensuring America's National Guard and first responders are fully manned, equipped, and funded. The plan seeks to cut into the public perception that Republicans are tougher on security. A controversial royalty relief plan for America's already thriving oil industry stands to cost the government more than $20 billion in potential tax revenue over the next 20 years. This revenue will instead bolster record profits enjoyed by the industry during President Bush's tenure in office. This, according to an early draft of a report prepared by the Government Accountability Office, which goes on to warn that the cost to the government could swell to as much as $80 billion if companies are successful in their legal battle to further loosen their tax obligations. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Chris Nsiabwadi.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us the plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Tom Hartman Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74, and this is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residence. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and receive a smoke detector with free 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
You love your garden. You love the fresh produce, the money you save, and the pride that comes from working the soil. But it's never been an easy chore. Until now. I'd like to send you a free information kit that shows how easy gardening can be with the Matus Tiller Cultivator. It's so light and easy to use, you can cultivate an entire average-sized garden in only 20 minutes without breaking a sweat. And at only 20 pounds, anyone can handle it. But in spite of its light weight, it'll cut through sod and even the toughest, rockiest soil with ease. The Matus is so easy to handle, even in tight places. Even in hard soil, it'll dig down 10 inches deep. It's so much fun to use, you'll want to plant a second garden. But the Matus does more. With optional attachments, you can aerate and dethatch your lawn, edge around walks and driveways, even trim hedges.
Call 1-800-525-6029 now for our complete information kit and a free video showing how easy it is to use the Matus Tiller Cultivator. Put the fun back in gardening. Call now, 1-800-525-6029. That's 1-800-525-6029.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you, beginning the third hour of our program. I got to tell you, it's going to have to wait for a little while, but I just want to let you know that a little later on in the program, we're going to give you an update on the Libby Defense Fund. That's right, Scooter Libby's Defense Fund, and what's up with them over at LibbyDefenseFund.com. It's amazing. But right now,
just a push of a button, just a touch of a screen.
Hey, voting machine alerts.
Welcome to the future. Come try our voting machine.
David Cobb is with us. David Cobb, DUHC.org. David Cobb, the Green Party candidate for President of the United States in 2004. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
It is always great to hear your voice, David. You're just absolutely one of my favorite people.
Oh, you say that to all the nonviolent revolutionaries, Tom.
you got to get out here to Portland again, David. So that
I'd love to.
We can hang out. DUHC, what is that?
DUHC.org is the website for the local group where I do my grassroots organizing. It's called Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County.
Oh, yeah.
It is the group, Tom, where we try to take the concepts and ideas that you talk about on your program and actually put them into practice to start the process of building a strategic and intentional democracy movement in the United States of America.
That's right. I had forgotten you live where KGOE. You're in my listening area.
We listen to you on KGOE Radio, and you are a huge fan here. And I got to tell you, Tom, I may have run for president of the United States, but a big selling point for a lot of my progressive colleagues here is to say, yeah, I stayed with Tom and Louise in Portland. That's right. It's not quite the Lincoln bedroom, but let me tell you, for progressives in this community, it puts me right up there.
Well, I'm flattered. Anyhow, let's get right to the business of this thing, David. David Cobb is with us, the Libertarian presidential candidate, along with Michael Badnarik, who was the you were the Green candidate, and the Libertarian presidential candidate, Michael Badnarik, filed a lawsuit and against the state of Ohio, and Kerry Edwards, 2004, joined that. And I understand that this lawsuit is now being expanded. I think most people thought it had gone away.
Well, here's what's happened is the judge in our case has so far just recently dismissed our vote recount lawsuit, arguing that the principle of sovereign immunity bars the particular lawsuit, claiming that the kind of errors that were found in the 2004 recount are not likely to occur again. The good news is that the League of Women Voters, the NAACP, and others have another ongoing litigation to ensure not only that the recount doesn't happen this way again, but what to me is more important is to ensure that some of the genuinely racist policies that basically disenfranchised African Americans and other poor voters don't happen again. Specifically, Tom, the allocation of voting machines in such a way that the waits in line were 6, 8, and even 10 hours in poor precincts and African American precincts, whereas in the affluent suburban precincts, the waits were more like 15 and 30 minutes.
Right, right. And
so that's one part of it. But, you know, what you know, because I listen to your program, what you know so well and what your listeners know so well, the real battle over voting machine is not just the allocation, but the ongoing saga of these proprietary corporate corporations who are basically hijacking our vote counting process. And that's the battle that is raging across the country.
Yeah, the question that I just, you know, I'm eternally asking is, how did we ever put our vote in the hands of private for-profit corporations?
Well, let's just be clear that the reality is we didn't put them there. They took it, right? I mean, the reality is that the Help America Vote Act has really provided an opportunity for private corporations to come in a boondoggle kind of way, to basically take over ever more.
Yeah, put $4 billion on the table.
Exactly, and so there was this feeding frenzy. And at the end of the day, I think it's worth pointing out, Tom, that what you see is, and I'm not saying that the Green Party, Libertarian Party recount lawsuit spawned it, but we helped to focus a light that then citizen activists from across the country have picked up on. Mm. And you're seeing now, I mean, look at it. In Texas, did you know that a arch conservative is now challenging the results of the election?
Right.
In Texas,
yeah.
A state Supreme Court candidate is challenging the results based on the same argument that you broke back in 2004, and that
yes.
is that these election machines are wrought with uncertainty. They do not deliver results that we can be confident in the results.
Well, and what he pointed out was that there were three counties, I guess, that he was running in, or three districts, precincts. I don't have the story in front of me now, but we actually reported the story on the show a week or so ago when it broke. And in one of those, and he had won 2 years ago and 4 years ago, or he had run 2 years ago and 4 years ago, and each time he'd gotten like 30% of the vote, 35% of the vote. And this time, in one county, he got like, you know, 25-30% of the vote, another county, 25-30%. In the third area, he got zero. No votes out of,
not
you know, over 100. Out of over 100,000 cast, and he's going, there's something wrong with this. And by the way, the guy who beat him was part of the Rick Perry machine, Rick Perry being the remnant of the George W. Bush machine.
Rick Perry was the Bush basically appointee, the
heir apparent. The fair-haired boy.
That's right, that Bush sort of brought in and came in behind him. And now obviously, you know, I don't actually share a lot in common with sort of arch-conservative Republican Supreme Court justices in Texas, but let's just be clear about one thing. When it comes to counting votes, this is not a matter of ideology.
Yeah.
This is about making sure that there are accurate results being reported from elections. Because if we can't be confident in that, Tom, we can't be confident in anything in our government.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. We're talking with David Cobb. He ran for president in 2004 on the Green Party ticket. And David, Raw Story reported that you were involved in a new lawsuit against Triad Election Systems?
That's correct.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, Triad was the group that actually was responsible for part of the shenanigans that we heard in Ohio.
Now, they're a voting machine manufacturer.
That's right. And they actually came in and put up so-called cheat sheets during the recount to ensure that, at least in the words of the election official who I talked to, said that those were there to ensure that they gave the same reported the same results that were reported in the initial count.
Because now, if the recounts were different than the initial count, then that would trigger an audit.
Yeah, that's right. And it would have been a full audit. And it's really important to understand this, Tom, that in the Ohio recount, or the so-called Ohio recount, we never actually followed state law, which requires the initial recount to be done in randomly selected precincts in 3% of each county,
mm-hmm.
and instead they pre-selected each one.
Hmm.
Now, that's a bit like if you were to go to a poker game, and when you arrived, the dealer said, oh, we're so glad you're here, Tom. We've already dealt the cards. Please
right.
take a seat, and how much would you like to bet?
Right.
I'm just wondering, Tom, how much would you bet in that game?
Right, and there's your hand right there.
There's your hand
on the
right
table.
There. How about it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's exactly what we had here.
Yeah.
And even deeper than that, now let's just continue a different metaphor. Let's say you go to a sporting event, and you see that one of the teams is providing all of the umpires and the referees.
Right.
Now, how confident would you be in that game?
So are you suing the voting machine company, or are you suing the state of Ohio, or
well,
what?
Yeah,
and who's doing this?
We are suing both the state of Ohio in the recount. We have a motion to reconsider. Even though the judge has initially dismissed it, we think that we've got good grounds for a reconsideration, and we may well appeal that case. That's still under determination. Mm-hmm. Now we're actually suing, and others are suing, the vending companies as well.
Yeah, now I'm curious. We just have a minute left. David Cobb, has the Kerry Edwards group, bunch, whatever, the remnant of the Kerry Edwards campaign, are they signed on with you on this, or are they going away?
Not on this one, no.
No, are they just kind of backing out of the whole thing?
Yeah, that's basically what's happened, Tom. And look, at the end of the day, we're doing this to restore confidence in the integrity of the election system. This is not a partisan issue for me. This is not an anti-Republican issue. It's not a pro-Green Party issue. It is, we have got to restore confidence in the integrity of elections in this country, and the way to do this is to get rid of these proprietary corporate machines that count our ballots in secret.
Yeah, and in California?
In California, Diebold is actually being in the process. We don't know if it's going to be certified or not. We've got an election coming up now. I want to give a shout-out to say that there are citizen activists across the state of California. If you're interested, contact us at duhc.org, and we will be a clearinghouse to put you in touch with people on the ground working on this issue.
There you go. David Cobb, the Green Party presidential candidate in 2004, Democracy Unlimited of HumboldtCounty.org, duhc.org. David, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for what you do.
Always great talking with you. 16 minutes past the hour is the Tom Hartman radio program, where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? Nope.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
You will be thrilled to learn that Walmart has been taking bold steps to stiff up its sordid image. Not such steps as paying decent wages and offering good benefits, mind you, nor steps to stop selling billions of dollars worth of sweatshop products every year, nor steps to stop using predatory tactics to crush local businesses when it moves into an area. Instead, Walmart's boldness is in the area of PR flimflammery. In December, a new group calling itself Working Families for Walmart suddenly sprang up. Was this a spontaneous grassroots uprising by employees and supporters of the retailing giant? No, it's a front group created and funded by the corporation itself for the sole purpose of praising itself. Also, in the past year, there's been a rash of bloggers ranting against Walmart's many critics and defending the corporate behemoth. Are their blogs simply the product of the freewheeling and fiercely independent Internet spirit? Uh-uh. These bloggers are routinely spoon-fed talking points and language by a right-wing operative of the Edelman Company, one of Walmart's PR firms. Even though many of the bloggers end up using the exact same sentences and so-called facts provided by Walmart's online operative, they commonly fail to mention any connection between their rants and the corporation. It's hard to develop an ethical image if you're using unethical tactics. So one wonders what Walmart's newest hire will make of all of this. In March, the company said it was seeking applicants for a new position, Director of Global Ethics. The posting says that candidates must have an impeccable reputation for integrity and be able to lead a global ethics strategy. This is Jim Hightower saying, right there is Walmart's problem. One's ethics is not a strategy. It's an ingrained virtue. No amount of strategic image making can cover up this corporation's obvious lack of ethics.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Deep voting machines make our elections so easy. Deep electronic machines are not for the faint or the queasy. The tabulations in secret are made. If they get a lemon, they make lemonade. The results can be changed if you know the code. The results can be changed and our country explode. And then
welcome back, my friends. 22 minutes past the hour at the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the place where reason is our lifestyle choice. Jack Abramoff just sentenced to 5 years, 10 months in prison by a federal judge, according to the Associated Press. However, his sentence won't start immediately so that he and Adam Kadan can continue cooperating in a Washington corruption investigation and a Florida probe into the murder of the guy that he bought a cruise line from, former Sun Cruise owner Castanazos Gus Baulis, if I'm pronouncing that right. That sentence that he received, by the way, 5 years, 10 months, was the minimum under his plea agreement in this case. So, see how this thing shakes out. Carl Mayer is with us. Carl is going to be speaking at the Seattle University School of Law today. This is at 901 12th Avenue in downtown Seattle, Sullivan Hall, room C1 at 4:30 this afternoon. Carl's website, newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com. Carl Mayer, one of the great populist crusaders and attorneys taking on corporate personhood in the United States, and a friend. Carl, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate your having me on. You're regarded by many as the modern-day Johnny Appleseed of democracy, and I can't say enough about your work, and particularly the way you connect so many groups and ideas around the country who are interested in taking our government back. It's really quite an honor to be on.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's interesting. You and I first met the same time David Cobb and I first met, which was several years ago in San Francisco at Jonathan...
Jonathan Freeman's.
That's right, Jonathan Freeman's.
Little confabulation.
And David Cobb was just our last guest. It's just a weird quirk of fate. In any case, you're working on corporate personhood, on taking apart corporate personhood. I wrote a book about this on equal protection. You're the author of several books, including Shakedown and Public Domain, Private Domain. Worked on the Nike versus Caskey case before the Supreme Court. And your gig right now, what you're going to be talking about today at the Seattle University School of Law, is Ending Corporate Rule, a Report from the Trenches?
Well, actually, I'm talking on a broader topic today, and the topic today will be, will corporations end American democracy in our lifetimes? And I very much hope the answer to that is no, but the question is posed because of my experience as I was elected as an independent town councilman in Princeton, New Jersey. And subsequently, I went undercover to do an investigation with 60 Minutes, which led to the indictment or conviction of over 75 lobbyists and politicians throughout the state of New Jersey, almost all for the same criminal transgression, which was taking bribes from corporations in return for government contracts, almost exactly like the Abramoff situation and the Duke Cunningham situation that you were just talking about. Unfortunately, this occurs too often at the local level as well.
Mm-hmm.
The great Louis Brandeis said the states are the laboratories of democracy. Well, we've had some bad experiments in some of these laboratories in some of the states in the countries, and I'm here to talk to the citizens in Washington State about how they can avoid some of the mistakes of too much corporate control.
So,
in the state of New Jersey.
Without getting into too deep a level of detail, because I think we only have about 2.5 minutes left here, Carl Mayer, how can the citizens, not just of Seattle, not just of Washington State, but all across the United States, how can we take back our democracy from corporations?
Well, first, I think what we need to do is start chartering corporations with limits on them. So what we do is we say that a corporation, if you're going to get a charter from our state, you're not going to get any corporate welfare.
Now, what our listeners should know is that a corporate charter is the document that legally enables a corporation to exist.
That's right. Okay. That's right, and the states create these documents and give them all sorts of privileges like perpetual life, and what we're saying is in return, they shouldn't seek out corporate welfare. They shouldn't be involved in politics at all. They should get out of politics, as Business Week said in an editorial in the year 2000, and that's how we should rewrite these charters. The other thing we can do in states like Washington that have the initiative and referendum, you can create public financing of elections. These are called clean money campaigns. They work in Arizona and in Vermont and in other states. And there's no reason that citizens across the country can't get involved in that and do it. I think the point that citizens have to keep in mind is the most crucial issue facing the democracy is how do we brush back corporations from running the system rather than the people. You know, charitable work is very important. There's a distinction between charity and justice. And justice means that we can't let the powerful, these large enterprises, prey on the weak by demanding all sorts of state subsidies.
Well said. And in a nutshell, well said. Carl Mayer, he's going to be speaking at Seattle University School of Law today, 901 12th Avenue, downtown Seattle. The website, newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com. And, Carl, thanks so much for the great work you're doing out there.
Thank you, Tom.
Keep it up, sir. 27 minutes past the hour on the Tom Hartman radio program, where being progressive never felt so good.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol rapid release gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser-drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
In today's busy world, many of us are feeling overwhelmed and stressed. This can lead to sleepless nights, as well as damage to your physical and mental health. Here are some helpful hints to manage your stress. One of the most important is learning to delegate. Ask for help. Studies show that people with a strong support system cope better with stress. So take the time to build close relationships. It's a great investment in your health and happiness. And carve out time to enjoy yourself. Taking the time to chill out will make you more effective in everything you do. Keep listening for other stress-reducing tips brought to you by Tylenol PM.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a 5-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Oreck XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always call someone else.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell. Fewer than 500 salaried employees were laid off by General Motors at 30 locations yesterday. Dubbed Black Tuesday by the media, the layoffs follow an announcement earlier this year of plans to slash the jobs of more than 36,000 hourly workers in North America by 2008. Last Wednesday, GM announced it had negotiated a buyout plan with the unions representing those hourly workers for between $35,000 and $140,000. The salaried employees laid off yesterday are not eligible for the buyout plan, but do receive a severance pay of 1 month for every year they were employed by the automaker, up to 15 months. In January, GM laid off 500 engineers, and last year laid off 2,000 salaried employees.
Students are working with labor on campuses nationwide this week on joint corporate campaigns. Silky Shah, an organizer with Not With Our Money, says it pays for labor to forge alliances with university students.
The investment's really important from the labor community. A good example is the Taco Bell campaign and some of the stuff that's going on with living wage right now. I think students play a major role in just getting attention to these issues.
Shah says a campaign is underway against Farallon, a hedge fund that invests in private prison operator Corrections Corporation of America. Carl Lipscomb, coordinator of the Student Labor Action Project, says a campaign is also underway against Coca-Cola for alleged human rights abuses. Lipscomb says he hopes these actions reach students who are unaware of unions and labor issues.
One of the main things we want to do is educate the students that aren't necessarily involved, students that don't know what unions are or what the functions of unions are, that don't know what the workers on their campuses are, what the janitors that are cleaning their rooms, what their plight is. We hope to educate them on workers' rights issues and also teach them what they can do to support workers.
Pfizer is being sued by labor unions for marketing Lipitor for unapproved uses. The suit says that by marketing Lipitor for uses outside of federal guidelines, the unions made billions of dollars in overpayments for members' prescriptions. While physicians may prescribe drugs as necessary, drug companies may only market drugs in accordance with federally approved uses.
Here's the WIN Economic Report. Major U.S. defense companies like Lockheed Martin are dealing with a consequence of the end of the Cold War, a serious shortfall in engineers. While there's no problem finding systems or software engineers, a deficit looms in more traditional areas such as mechanical and aeronautical engineering. Last year, the U.S. produced about 80,000 engineers, compared to 300,000 from India. In 1989, the U.S. aerospace and defense workforce was 1.2 million people. Today, it's just 580,000.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer, and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour, coming up on 25 before. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-8466. Toll free all across the United States, 866-440-THOM. If you'd like to drop into our live chat room, Go to TomHartmann.com and click live chat. Also, just an FYI, I will be filling in for the last 3 hours of the Randy Rhodes Show this afternoon, just as a heads up. Scooter Libby's Defense Fund, our Libby Defense Fund alert. This is actually a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I mean, this is put together by BuzzFlash.com and TakeBackTheMedia.com. They actually run a website called LibbyDefenseFund.com, and it's got a smiling picture of Scooter Libby there. It says, don't tread on me. Oh, excuse me, it says tread on me. And it says, defending America from Scooter Libby. And they just sent out this news release. I just got this. It says, thank you for signing up for the Libby Defense Fund alerts. In our first alert, we wanted to let you know that there is a rumor sweeping the Capitol that Karl Rove has turned snitch. That's right. Now, I'm sharing with you the email, the mass email that went out from the Libby Defense Fund, Scooter Libby's Defense Fund, LibbyDefenseFund.com. That's right, they write, the pudgy-faced Machiavelli is said, speaking of Karl Rove, is said in unconfirmed reports to be selling out our dear friend and traitor, Scooter Libby. The speculation is that Rove wants to bargain his way out of an indictment. In addition, it appears that Bush's brain has it out for Cheney because he thinks the guy's a drag on his brand Bush, that is. It's always kind of amusing to see the rats start eating each other. Read more about this and the latest developments at TalkLeft.com and WashingtonNote.com. And, of course, BuzzFlash.com and TakeBackTheMedia.com. Feel free to pass this along to others. Remember our motto, in honor of Scooter, in traitors we trust. 1-866-440-8466. Crescencio in Sacramento, California. Am I pronouncing that right?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I got cut off there when I called. Yeah, Crescencio, can you pronounce it again?
Crescencio.
Yes, that's right.
Great. What's up?
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller, so I try to keep my thoughts organized and coherent. But are you there?
I am.
I consider myself a centrist Democrat. I have been since I started voting.
Mm-hmm.
But I am also Mexican-American. I am against illegal immigration and amnesty because I favor the unions and the middle class. And, you know, the Cesar Chavez is against it. It's bad for the middle class and the unions.
Yep. Cesar Chavez, in fact, led a march down to the Mexican border along with Hubert Humphrey, and there was somebody else involved in that. Ralph Abernathy, one of the civil rights leaders, to protest illegal immigrants coming in and competing with the United Farm Workers union members.
I know they do. And this one of your callers said that the Democrats support illegal immigration. I don't think they do. They're sympathetic to their plight, but they can't support them, you know? That's wrong.
This is where I think that this immigration bill that came out of the House got it wrong was yes, we need to take a hard line against the employers, but to at the same time say that if somebody feeds somebody, if somebody provides medical services to somebody, regardless of their alien status, they are a criminal, that's just wrong. I mean, it's just wrong.
H.R. 4437, too. Yeah, I know. That's wrong. That's not good.
So there is a reasonable balance here, and that is simply go after the employers. And eventually what's going to happen is if illegals can't get jobs any longer, they'll say, hey, there's no job here. I'm leaving.
All right. And there's another thing, too, that I don't hear from the talk shows, is that Mexico has a presidential election July 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these Mexican talk shows that start talking to their illegal people here and tell them to vote. Mexico needs a good centrist government or some progressive government. And this is their chance to vote for that government, try to get it in so they can start changing Mexico, because they have to start thinking about going back.
Yeah, and there is a guy running against Vicente Fox who is
Manuel López Obrador.
Yeah.
Manuel in English, but his name is Manuel López Obrador.
Obrador.
The Obrador, Obrador. Obrador.
Obrador.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
You got to roll the R's.
Oh, that means worker in Spanish. Interesting. Yeah, well, and he's given, I think he's, from my take, from what I'm reading in the news accounts, he's giving Fox a run for his money.
Well, he's very popular, but they're after him. The right's trying to destroy him, you know that. He used to be the mayor of Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mexico City is having a lot of crime problems, so they're trying to blame that on him.
Oh, my.
But you can't do that, you know, because there's a lot of other factors involved there that he has no control over, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes changes in the Mexican society. That's what these Mexican talk shows will start doing, is talking to these illegal immigrants, tell them to consider going back and to vote. to get
and get involved in their political system. Crescencio, thank you very much for the call and for making that point. You were very articulate in doing so, and I appreciate the call. Joe in Greenwich, Connecticut. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Hi, I just wanted to throw in my two cents regarding the sensationalism surrounding the immigration issue.
Sure. Which particular sensationalism are you talking about?
Well, the whole media, I'm upset that everybody finds this so surprising. I think everybody should be mobilizing about the issues they care about so that our leaders can more effectively gauge the general populace's opinions pertaining to these issues. Personally, I think most Americans, you know, second, third generation, we've become generally complacent in respect to our right to vocalize dissent and mobilize to affect change. And it's almost like we've become buried in our own bureaucracy, you know, and killing the spirit of the American dream, which, by the way, I think is still fresh in these immigrants' minds.
Yeah.
And the way I feel about it is that they're more patriotic.
Now, are you talking about illegal immigrants or legal immigrants?
Well, I don't support illegal immigration, but I feel that we shouldn't make it harder for them to get over here.
Why? You know? And why not?
Because it revitalizes our country, and I think that's the one thing.
How, Joe? Let me just lay out a simple equation here. If you understand supply and demand, right? If the quantity of something goes up, its price goes down, right?
Mm-hmm.
The quantity of labor in the United States over the last 25 years has gone up rather substantially. Somewhere between 7 and 15 million of the workers in the United States are illegal aliens here working. They're increasing the quantity of labor. That is what is one of the major variables that has driven down the cost of labor. One of the reasons we haven't seen an increase in the minimum wage. The Republicans love this. The conservatives love this. Countries have immigration policies so that they can make sure that their labor pool doesn't get diluted, so that they can maintain a middle class. And the reason they want to maintain a middle class is because the middle class is essential to democracy. So your suggestion that we should simply throw open the borders and say anybody who wants to come in can come in is going to end up with people working for $3 an hour.
Well, I agree with you. Maybe I didn't make my point very clear. I just don't think we should make it any harder for them to get over here legally.
I don't disagree with you, but it is very difficult to get into the United States legally. My sister-in-law is an immigrant. She's in the process of becoming an American citizen. My grandfather was an immigrant on my father's side. It's a big challenge to get into the United States. It takes years to become an American citizen. It's a very different thing from simply walking across the Mexican border and then having Bush sign a law that says you pay $1,000 fine and prove that you can speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree with you. I think maybe I got into something that I didn't quite articulate properly.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call, Joe, and thank you for calling and for listening and for bringing it up. I appreciate it. Sandra in Mercer Island, Washington. Hey, Sandra, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. This is my first time listening to your program, and I love it. You are so informative.
Thank you.
Earlier in your program, I picked this up, about the higher income brackets that only pay 15% of taxes, but no Social Security.
Right.
And, I knew the higher tax brackets don't pay much, but I wasn't aware that there was no Social Security paid on that level.
Social Security is paid on payroll taxes, on wages that are earned, on the first $90,000.
Okay.
So Bill Gates, for example, if he made $10 million this year in paycheck, on that $10 million, the first $90,000, he paid the same Social Security tax that you and I do. But after that first $90,000 of income, all the rest of his income is free of Social Security tax and Medicare tax, for that matter, the whole FICA thing. He doesn't have to pay anything on it. Also, if Bill Gates derives dividends from the stock that he owns in Microsoft, and this isn't just a pick on Bill Gates, I mean, this is true of anybody who has dividend income from stock, or if he derives capital gains income from the sale of stock, then that's not considered ordinary income. That's not wage income, and that's immune from Social Security tax. At least that's my understanding of it. And even if it were not immune to Social Security tax, it would only have to be paid on the first $90,000. Basically, what we have for Social Security is a tax exclusively for the middle class. And anybody who makes more than $90,000 a year in the United States no longer pays Social Security taxes.
Sounds
pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's been that way since...
Could that be the gap between why we don't have or are we're running out of our Social Security?
Yep.
I'm laying here in bed with a cold and I didn't go to work today. So, gee, I can't pay that tax today. I'm not generating.
Well, here's the rub on this, Sandra. This is the interesting thing. If we simply did away with the cap, and we said that Bill Gates pays Social Security on his $1,000,000, on his $5,000,000, on his $10,000,000, just like you and I do on our $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever it may be. If we simply made the Social Security tax essentially a flat tax that everybody pays regardless of their income, it would cure the problems of the Social Security system.
Absolutely. Do we have a candidate coming up that could address that issue along with...
A lot of Democrats are suggesting things along those lines, and certainly that's a suggestion that has been made many, many times by many people. It's something that obviously the Republicans won't tolerate. There have been proposals to that effect made in the House of Representatives and the Senate. Republicans won't allow them to come up for a vote. George Bush obviously is not talking about this, and a lot of the millionaires in the media don't want to talk about it, but it's out there. 45 minutes past the hour. Thank you, Sandra.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. Call right now. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
The southern Great Plains still show the effects of a long-ago disaster. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Millions of buffalo once roamed the southern Great Plains, one of the largest grasslands in the world. But by the 1930s, aggressive farming and drought had turned parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and surrounding states into the Dust Bowl. Timothy Egan is the author of The Worst Hard Time. He says Franklin Roosevelt tried to provide relief for the region through Operation Dust Bowl. It included a tree planting campaign, 250 million were planted, and the creation of protected national grasslands.
There are 11 million acres in national grassland, and this is the net result of Roosevelt to try to restore the land. One of his thoughts was to resettle people and to try to bring grass back, and that's been partially successful. So you have these national grasslands run by the Forest Service in the Southern Plains. So you see parts of it, patches and bits and pieces of it, like a big open wound, have recovered.
But Egan says while the land is slowly recovering, the economy of the region continues to struggle, unable to adapt to large-scale agriculture.
The area has died, basically. The Southern Plains has died as a place where there are functioning towns. I'm not saying it's all like that, but most of these towns are just in their last gasp. There's no reason for people to live there anymore. The farm economy has largely collapsed because of big agriculture. There's very few family farms, and family farms needed small towns. Now they no longer need the small towns. The small towns have no reason to exist.
Egan says some people have proposed abandoning the plains altogether and turning it back into a vast, wild grassland. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Reading
Driving is not a natural act. You have to train your brain to do it. But I don't have to tell you that. You worry about your children's success in school. Now when they bring home a report card, ask yourself, are they improving? If the answer is no, you need to call and order the Phonics Game. The Phonics Game is a fun, easy, and proven way to help your children get better reading and spelling grades. Studies show that 74% of children who are poor readers in the third grade end up poor readers in the ninth grade, which means your children's reading skills won't get better unless you do something to help. Do what parents across the country have done. Get the Phonics Game. The Phonics Game comes with a money-back guarantee. If your children don't improve their grades in reading or spelling, you can return the Phonics Game for a full refund.
Call now. 1-800-813-READ. 1-800-813-READ. That's 1-800-813-READ.
Call today and order the Phonics Game.
1-800-813-READ.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Breathe out, keep walking, keep on your toes and don't stop talking about freedom. You get going, lots to be learning, lots to be knowing about people. You gotta teach them, see it right now, and then you gotta teach them about freedom.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. And Steve in Springfield, Massachusetts. Let's see, you listening on WHMP, Steve?
Hi. Hi, Tom. How are you doing? I was just listening to your last call, and I just wanted to ask you, so isn't it true, since the Social Security Trust Fund was merged with the General Fund?
It wasn't.
Pardon me?
It wasn't. It never has been.
Okay, well, this is what I wanted to ask you. So then that may be good news. So are you telling me that the huge tax cuts which came out of the general fund and which will come out of the general fund don't threaten Social Security?
Sure.
I think they do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Steve. Here's the history of the whole thing in about three sentences. Back in the early 1980s, the actuaries at Social Security and everybody else saw that when the baby boomers retire, there's going to be, you know, a lot of retirees and not as many people working, and there's going to be this rabbit going through a python thing. It's only going to last for about 20 years. And up until that point, every generation that was paying Social Security taxes, the workers were paying the taxes that were then immediately rolled over and given to the people who were retired. Right, and the one third of Social Security recipients who literally are widows, orphans, and disabled people. The decision was made by the Greenspan Commission, Alan Greenspan and Daniel Patrick Moynihan, with the blessing of Ronald Reagan. The decision was made that the baby boomers would be the first generation of Americans and the only generation of Americans that would not only pay for their parents' retirement but would also pay for their own. And a savings account was going to be set up so that there would be enough extra money so that the boomers could pay not just for their parents but for themselves. And the Social Security tax was doubled by Ronald Reagan in either 82 or 83. That doubling more or less doubled. It was the largest tax increase in the history of the United States, and 100% of it hit the middle class. Because at that time, nobody earning over $45,000 a year paid Social Security taxes, or they didn't pay it on the money over the top, over $45,000. So that money started accumulating in this trust fund. Now, at the same time, Ronald Reagan did these huge tax cuts for the wealthy, thinking that, with Laffer curve logic, that was going to create income for the federal government. It didn't. It created an ocean of red ink. So he freaked out and said, what do I do? Alan Greenspan comes to him and has this conversation and says, listen, if you borrow the money from the Social Security Trust Fund, because Greenspan had a big investment in this whole idea of tax cuts for the wealthy too. He said, if you borrow the money from the Social Security Trust Fund and loan it to the general fund, it won't show up as a deficit because it's government-to-government borrowing. So it only shows up as a deficit when the government has to issue a bond. And we'll create a special kind of bond for this.
Okay. So
Reagan
now,
started borrowing out of the Social Security Trust Fund, and nobody has stopped since then.
So now, yes, that was my point. So now they've done it, for argument's sake, a second. There's really been four tax cuts since he's been in office.
Since Bush has been in office, yeah.
Right. So now it's been done five times. So it's five times as much a threat to money that they didn't pay in the first place.
That's right.
That they are having a boom on now as investors. With,
that's right.
And
America is being run on a credit card, and what's guaranteeing that credit card is the Social Security Trust Fund.
And there has been, for people who make under $90,000 a year, there's been no holiday on our Social Security tax.
That's
or
right.
Holiday, as were some of the proposals over the years, and holiday on our Medicare tax.
That's correct.
So essentially, they've stolen Social Security.
Well, they have borrowed it in such a massive form that the only way it will be able to be paid back, we're talking about over $2 trillion now that's been borrowed out of the Social Security Trust Fund. The only way to generate $2 trillion over a relatively short period of time, like 15, 20 years, to pay back the boomers the money that was borrowed from their Social Security Fund, where they were paying not only for their parents' generation's retirement, but for their own, the only way to do that is to pretty much about double income taxes. And I think the Bushies are figuring that, you know, once they're out of power and the Republicans are out of power, Democrats come along and they're going to have to, in fact, they're going to have to raise taxes to do this. In fact, the Wall Street Journal ran a piece about this about 2 years ago, which we talked about on this program at the time, where very openly talking about this in one of the op-ed columns in the Wall Street Journal, calling it the reverse Santa Claus, where,
Bush and the Republican Party have proven that stealing is the way to go in America.
If you want short-term wealth and power, if you want to, and long-term, if you want to destroy the country,
I'm counting on the numbskull workers in the country not
to wake
to say,
up.
Hey, you stole it, put it back.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be nice? And what the Republicans are counting on is that when they're out of power and the next Democratic president comes along, that Democratic president will do the same thing Bill Clinton did, which is say, hey, let's become fiscally responsible, let's raise taxes and balance the budget. And actually, if Clinton's policies had continued, they would have stopped borrowing from the Social Security Trust Fund. You recall that was the cornerstone of Al Gore's campaign, the Social Security lockbox. Let's separate these things. And the Republicans then can beat up on Democrats for being tax increasers.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's
so Machiavellian, it's mind-boggling. And yet, it's not a secret.
I think if you use my term, that the Republicans stole our Social Security, and then you remind yourself that 90% of the working numbskulls in this country aren't going to take them to task for it.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling. They're just...
Yeah. I agree with you, Steve. The one caveat that I would put is I wouldn't refer to working people as numbskulls. The bottom line is most people are working so hard they don't have time to pay attention to politics. It's just, you know, you got half of America, you know, working two jobs, it seems. It's incredible. It's 56 minutes past the hour. Coming up on the next Tom Hartman program, hold on to your hats as I ask conservative author Catherine DeBrecq, do whiny, insecure kids grow up to be conservatives? Yeah, and Paul Craig Roberts asking, is another 9/11 in the works? Remember, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
This is Vasily Nikraskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company.